ஜெயம் விஷுபால பிரம்மஹம்ச பரிபிராஜராச்சாரிய அஷ்டோத்தர சத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் அபய சரணாரவிந்த பக்தி வேதாந்த கோஸ்வாமி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் கீ ஜெயம் நித்யலீலா பிரவிஷ்ட விஷுபால பரமஹம்ச பரிபிராஜராச்சாரிய அஷ்டோத்தர சத ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீமான் பக்த சித்தாந்த சரஸ்வதி மகாராஜ் ஸ்ரீல பிரபுபாத் கீ அனந்தகோடி வைஷ்ணவ பிருந்தகி நாமாச்சாரி ஸ்ரீ ஹரிதாஸ் தாக்கூர் கீ பிரேம் சோ ஸ்ரீ கிருஷ்ண சைதன்ய பிரபு நித்யானந்த ஸ்ரீ அத்வைத கதாதார ஸ்ரீவாசாதி கௌரி பக்த பிருந்தகி ஸ்ரீ ஸ்ரீ ராதா கிருஷ்ண கோப கோபிநாத ஷியாமகுண்ட ராதாகுண்ட கிரி கோவர்தான் கி விருந்தாவன் தாம் கி மாயப்பூர் தாம் கி மதுரவரி தாம் கி ஜகதாம்புரி தாம் கி துவாரகாபுரி தாம் கி கங்கை மாய்க்கு யமுனா மாய்க்கு துளசி தேவிக்கு பக்தி தேவிக்கு சாமவேத பக்த பிருந்தகி ஓர் பிரேமானந்தி ஆல் க்ளோரியஸ் டு அசெம்பிளி பாடிஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரியஸ் டு அசெம்பிளி பாடிஸ் ஆல் க்ளோரியஸ் டு அசெம்பிளி பாடிஸ் All glories, all glories to Shri Guru, Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namam Shrupadai Krishna Prasai Bhudali. Shrimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidhi Namini. Namaste Sarasadeva Gauravani Pracharini. Nirvishesha Shunivari Pashyati Resha Dharini. ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் நமோ பகவதே வாசுதேவாய ஓம் பாதாய பிரதிபோதிதாம் பகவதாம் நாராயணேன ஸ்வயம் வியாசேன க்ரதிதாம் புராண முனிநாம் மத்யே மகாபாரதம் அத்வைதாமிரத வர்ஷிணி பகவதி அஷ்டாதசாத்யாயினி அம்ப த்வாம் அனுசந்ததாமி பகவத்கீதே பவத்வேஷிணி நமோஸ்துதே வியாச விஷால புத்தே புல்லாரவிந்தாயன பத்ர நேத்ர ஏன த்வயா பாரத தைல பூர்ண பிரஜ்வாலிதோ ஞானமய பிரதீபா பிரபன்ன பாரியாதாய தோத்ரவேத்ரைக வாணயே ஞானமுத்ராய கிருஷ்ணாய நீதாமிரத நுகே நம சர்வோபனிஷதோ காவோ துக்தா கோபாலநந்தனா பார்த்தோ வல்சுசுதீர்போக்தா துக்தம் கீதாமிரதம் மஹத் வசுதேவசுதம் தேவம் கம்சச்சானூரமர்தனம் தேவகீ பரமானந்தம் கிருஷ்ணம் வந்தே ஜகத்குரும் பீஷ்மத்ரோணதடா ஜயத்ரத ஜலா காந்தார நீலோல்பலா சல்யக்ராஹவதி கிருபேண வஹனி கர்ணேன வேலா குல அஸ்வத்தாமா விகர்ண கோரமகர துரியோதனாவர்த்தினி சூத்தீர்ண கலு பாண்டவைரண நதி கைவர்த்தக கேசவாம் பாராசரியவஜஸ்வரோஜமலம் கீதார்த்தகம் தோல்கடம் நானாக்யானக கேசரம் ஹரிகதா சம்போதனாபோதிதம் லோகை சஜ்ஜனஷல்பதைரஹரஹப்யபீயமானம் முத பூயாத் பாரத பங்கஜக்கலிமல பிரத்வம்சினஸ்ரேயசே மூகம் கரோதி வாசாலம் பங்கும் லங்கயதே கிரிம் யல்கிருபாகமஹம் வந்தே பரமானந்த மாதவம் யம் பிரம்மா வருணேந்திரருமருதஸ்வந்தி திவ்யைஸ்தவை கிரமோபிஷதைர்காயந்தியம் சாமகாஹாவசிதனசாவசந்தியம் யோகினோ யஸ்யாங்கம் நிதுசுராசுரகணை தேவாய தஸ்மை நம சர்வத்ர கோவிந்த நாம சங்கீர்த்தனம் கோவிந்த கோவிந்த Krishna says to Arjuna, Abhyasepi asamarthosi malkarma paramo bhava madartam api karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. He says that if you are finding it difficult for abhyasam is difficult for you, then all the karma what you do, do it for me, he said. And you can perfect your yoga siddhi in that way. Krishna has given that option also there. So, personal tyagam, personal sacrificing things, that means Krishna is saying that, personally do some sacrifice, and how to practice that in the sense that He says, practice this Tyagam nature within ourselves, right? And that is what the next verse says. first of all, he's talking about the benefit of Tyagam in life, giving up things in life, right? Normally it is like this, that our pride won't allow us to make the Tyagam sacrifice. Ahankaram inside will put a brake on that. Our Ahankaram's food is Bhogam. That's what Abhimanam likes. Ahankaram likes Bhogam. Right? If you give up Tyagam, Ahankaram will starve. Ahankaram will starve. Ahankaram's food is Bhogam, acquiring, non-Tyagam, giving up. Ahankaram's nature is like that. So, our Ahankaram won't allow to do Tyagam easily. Ahankaram will stop that. So, this is Tyagam is like a laser treatment for the Ahankaram, right? So, now we can see that in our life also, that when we are insulted, offended, our ego comes strongly and react to it. Right? It is not easy to give way to others. We want to hold on to our Ahankaram, right? So, this Ahankaram's nature is such that when it goes to the source, it disappears. It only comes in the vacant state and in the dream, not in the deep sleep. So the nature of this Ahankaram is such that it manifests and then it goes away. It disappears, right? So this is why you will see this Krishna's talking about this Ahankaram's nature. Ekadasham also he says, it also says here, that in the world you may be a failure, but the benefit is within, if you allow this to happen. In the world you may think that you have failed, but the benefit is within you, what you acquire from that, right? You get a great treasure inside, that feeling of surrender that comes from that. So, if you have that skill to do it as an upasana, then whatever others may say, it doesn't matter. If you have that skill to do that, because it's Ahankaram, to control the Ahankaram like that is difficult. So, because of that, inside you will win. Outside you may be a failure, but inside you will win, right? Otherwise, this success in the world outside, there is not much of a benefit from that. See, people are carried away by these things, isn't it? Recognition in the world, how many people, you know, they recognize you as a great person. This is all maya it is, to get chased by those things, right? So, even if you have one control the whole world, but inside if you have failed to become free from all this, right? It's only a big hole inside that. So, Krishna is saying here, sacrifice this Tyagam, right? And if it is, Abhyasam is not possible. If Abhyasam is not possible, Abhyasepi asamartosi kartumad yogamashvada madarthamai karmani kuruvan siddhimavapsasi. That's the option. Because spiritually many people have difficulty in doing sadhana, upasana strongly, and if that is becoming a problem, he says Tyagam, the next option. Right? And if it is becoming difficult to do Tyagam to such a level, in a big level, to do sacrificing everything, because due to our purva swabhavam, its power is inside us, right? Power is inside us. And that force is there. For example, the place we were born, and the place where we are working and the situation there, if this is not all allowing you to do everything, then Krishna is saying, at least do it in one place somewhere where you can do it. And you find that place, find it out, that place where you can do that tyagam, right? So, at least it must be possible to find somewhere where the you can create that freedom to do it, right? And the way is that wherever your abhimanam or ahangaram is getting hurt, that is where this is required, that you feel that your ahangaram comes down by a tyagam. Madartham avikarmani kurvan siddhim avapsyasi. Krishna said that, right? Do something very special, charity or whatever it is, right? And how charity should be done, that was mentioned in the Bhagavatam. Yadya dishtadamam loge, yachadi priyam alpana, tatran nivedayan mahyam, tadanandaya kal, anandaya kalpade, Krishna is saying, right? The reason is that you can, Krishna says, yadya dishtadamam loge, whatever you like the best in this world, right? And so, that dravyam or wealth, whatever you have attached to, and give that to Krishna. Yadya ishtadamam loge, echadi priyamalpana. What is very dear to you, tatan nivedayan mahyam, offer that to me. This is Krishna's suggestion to us to get this ahangaram under control. Tada anandaya kalpade. Anandaya kalpade means, basically what it means is it leads into self-realization. Ananda means Brahmam. That Brahmam realization will come from that. In other words, you will become anandam, unlimited. Not that you will get everything, you will realize that you are that unlimited object, unlimited vastu, Brahma. So, that is where our personality is fading away. Personality is a very strong thing in the form of ahangaram inside. It needs food all the time. That is why you will see, even after coming to spiritual life, you are looking for recognition, your name and fame, followers, all this is a part of that. The ahangaram is still demanding, but instead of doing in the mundane world, you are you have taken it into spiritual life. That's all. The difference is. But that desire inside is not leaving. Ahangaram is demanding that. Recognition, name and fame, followers, all sorts of things, because that is where your personality is, right? And if you, Krishna is saying, if you make that as an offering to me, that ahangaram, then you will become unlimited anandam. Tattan nivedayan mahyam tada anantaya kalpade. Anantaya means that you will become Brahmam. You will realize that, right? And with that, your personality will disappear. The ahangaram inside will disappear. So, sometimes if you offer many things to Krishna, tyagam, this personality will be minimized, will be nullified, right? And this is spoken in the Bhagavatam in few places, right? And in Bhagavatam, Kapila Maharshi says this in a different way. Like a shastram, he is saying, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, it's like a shastram, right? If you look into a third canto, see how the same principle what Krishna has spoken, how Kapila Maharshi says is that in the 27th chapter, in the 16th verse, एवं प्रत्येवम ऋष्यासाम आत्मानं प्रतिपद्यते सहंकारस्य द्रव्यस्य यो अवस्थानम अनुग्रह सहंकारस्य द्रव्यस्य यो अवस्थानम अनुग्रह 27th chapter 16th verse yeah so what he is saying is sahangarasya dravyasya dravyam which has come through ahangaram through your ahangaram it has come isn't it all the effort you have put in to acquire the wealth that sahangaram has done the job and giving up that is a blessing he says sahangarasya dravyasya yeah Normally, these things are not spoken so much because people don't like to be spoken about ahangaram. Is it not? That's just the nature. So, here and there you will find Krishna mentions one here, Kapila Maharshi says there. In different places you will notice this, right? And it is a anubhuti inside. What comes from that? They give the example that when you churn the yogurt and the butter comes out, and Krishna is saying in the same way that they're doing something special. Okay, you're doing daily basis puja at home or whatever. That is your anushtanam, normal daily anushtanam, right? What Krishna is saying is, do something very special as a tyagam, separately from that, right? And do something for me, Krishna says, something special, right? And anushtanam, anushtanam is also tyagam, upasana is tyagam, right? For example, if you are chanting Krishna's holy names every day, 16 rounds or 25 rounds, whatever it is, right? And that is naishkarmyam, right? So, that has been given instructions by higher authorities. They said you should chant 16 rounds a day. That's also tyagam. Upasana is tyagam. And every day you are doing that, right, with a steady mind. Yeah. But mind will say that you have done all that. Why you have to do something different than that? This way the mind will dictate from inside. Right. So, nature of the mind is it will inspire us from inside to do something else. So, as much as possible, whether the mind is favorable or not favorable, instead of surrendering to the mind through anushtanam, you are trying to becoming free from the grip of the mind. Right? That's what he's saying here. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsisi, he says. Do something for me special, Krishna says. And let Krishna be pleased with this, saying that one who is doing sadhana, even while doing sadhana, doing things without expectation anything from that. To be done in that way. Sadhana is to be without expectation of anything. General tendency in us is, because we are coming from that mundane conditions, mundane situation, if I do something, I should get the result. This we are bringing to spiritual life also. People have that nature in them. I have done all these things. Now what are you going to give it back to me? In other words, when you go on a parikramam, whether you go on a tirthayatra or any spiritual activity, to come to that level of understanding, it takes time. Initially, it is like this. I've done all these things, what the Guru has said or the Shastram has said. Now, what about me? What are you going to do for me, right? So, to do things without that selfishness is very difficult to give to Krishna like that, without expectation, anything in return, right? So, if you do like that, If Krishna is saying that if you practice it, what will happen is that force inside, thing called the mind, it will become very weak. Gradually it will become weak, right? And the benefit of that is you won't go out of the border set up by dharma. You will stay within the boundary of dharma. This is all the after effect. The secrets of life, Krishna is talking about. The secrets of life, right? So, you will see this, he mentioned in the 18th chapter in a different way. If you look at that verse 9, he said, Kadyamityava yal karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam jaiva satyagam satyagam madam. So, satyagam becomes satvigam. Krishna said that, remember? Kadyamityava yat karmam niyadam kriyade arjuna sangam tetva bhalam jaiva satyaga tyaga satyagam madam. So, it becomes satvigam only when sangam tetva bhalam jaiva satyaga satyagam madam. So, without thinking what the mind is saying, whether you have the mood or not, or the mind agrees with or not, looking at happiness and distress, right? Realizing that it is my dharma to do it, and if you make a sacrifice like that, that is satyam. Not that you consulted the mind and mind accepted it and then you have made the sacrifice. That's not satyam. Satyam is when the mind is objecting to it, but taking that it is dharmam and perform that charity, then it is satyam, he says. So, and that tyagam is tapasya. It purifies, because it purifies, this is a purifying element in that. Yeah. So, dharmam, while doing dharmam, not thinking about any swarthada in that, no selfishness in that, right? The only thing is that by your action, what you expect that it is beneficial to others, for others, right? If you do like that, it becomes very holistic, right? It will heal. And that karma, Krishna calls it as a special karma, right? Initially, Krishna said all karma. Right? But if all karma is not possible, because Krishna knows that it is not possible sometimes to do all the karma as an offering to Krishna, right? So therefore he said, do something special as a sacrifice to me. And something you do as a sacrifice, or some anushtanam. Anushtanam is also tyagam, right? For example, 2 or 3 hours you're hearing Bhagavad Gita, right? And it may not stay in your mind, everything. We know that. It won't stay. Everything will be forgotten. And also some more things, you may not understand what Krishna is saying. There's so many subtle things in the Bhagavad Gita, right? But the benefit is that at least these 2-3 hours, you didn't go and do some other nonsense. That's a benefit from that, right? So, that means you are not given importance to selfishness there much. Swarthana goes away, right? So, creating a gap in life like this. Otherwise, if you look at our life, most of the time we are busy with ourselves. So many things going on in our mind. You have to do this, I have to do that. I have to do this for somebody, I have to do this for them. Like this, the mind is always hovering on the selfish plans, right? So, to create a gap there, in that, now and then, some gap in that, in this life, right, where there is no selfishness in that. And that is a secret in life, right? Karmam will continuously come through us, non-stop, it's coming, right? And if it is all swartha karmam, selfish karmam, it is going to cause more bondage. Right? So therefore, in between, create some gap in some way that you don't do anything for selfish reasons. And if it is done like that, like Krishna is saying that, through that gap, Krishna will appear, the one who was tending the cows in Vrindavanam. Krishna will appear in between that, through that gaps, right? And that is a force within everyone. And you will experience the presence of the soul that way, and the Riyami's presence inside. So, little gaps in life to spend time in a way that it is not for any benefit for us, selfish benefits. It's done as a surrender to Krishna. To please Krishna, that create a gap in life so that the time is spent in a selfless way. So, this is why this creating that gap is what all spiritual activities does. For example, satsangam is this gap that you are creating inside. Going to the temple is for that. Not to get something. Normally, we go to places, do something to get something, but not to get anything. That's the idea behind it. Similarly, you will see people circumambulating in the temple many times. You see they have built the parikraman purposes, pradakshana they have created for this reason only. So you can continuously circumambulate. Because body wants karma, but it is done in such a way that you don't get anything out of it. All these things, chanting the holy name, what do you want to get from that? You have to chant the holy name. So japam, circumambulation of the temple, and similarly satsangam, reading Srimad Bhagavatam, all these are things what you do in the anushtanam purely not for selfish reasons, selflessly doing it, creating that gap in the in life, daily life, right? So rishis have found out all these things and they created all this. The rishis have done this, right? And if you think, if you look back in your life and see all the time you have spent on all the spiritual activities, what did you gain from that? Practically it was not done to gain anything, it was done to not to gain anything. That's why we did that. Not to, at least that time, that gaining nature or acquiring nature or getting the results mentality will go away from that. That time was spent without gaining anything. Not to gain anything, right? So, most of the people otherwise, they will look at their time. You say, I have spent so much time on that. People say like that, is it not? In the karmi life, they are very calculative about their time. And they expect, this time is money, they say. That principle won't hold good in spiritual life. If you bring that into spiritual life, it will be a disaster. So, in order to get free from that mindset, yeah, to think that everything is money, in terms of, to see things, everything in terms of money, right? And Shastram's approach is that, what you didn't get in that time, right? That is where Shastram is looking at. What did you do in your life where you didn't get anything, right? And because if you didn't do anything, the good thing is that you would not have gone and got entangled in something else to get something. It's a big rahasyam or secret of spiritual life, all these things. Normal tendency is to get everything and keeping always a track on our time and working on a project basis day every day with the diary and the plans and there is no time for anything, right? So Shastram is saying that if you have not done those times which you have not done anything, what you have done is basically you have saved yourself that you have not gone and done something and got entangled with it. At least at that time you didn't do that, right? You have become free from that, right? And the profit is that you have escaped from that, that entanglement, what you would have fallen into otherwise, yeah? So, from here what did you get? Nothing, right? And more important than that, this nivritti, what you get from that, what we must remember is, the power of nivritti is not there in pravritti. Pravritti doesn't have the power what nivritti has got. This is an important principle in spirituality. Of course, people, when they come from materialistic life to spiritual life first, they are used to pravritti. And pravritti means, I do something, I should get the result. That's pravritti. Binding, bondage. This is the science of nivritti. Getting free from entanglements and bondage. Right? So, power of nivritti, the strength of nivritti is not there in the pravritti. Right? For example, if you don't tell lies, the power of that is more than if you tell the truth. You see that? If you don't tell lies, it's more powerful than even speaking the truth. There is a difference there, if you think about it. You may speak truth always, but then if you tell lies also, it is worse. You may be speaking mostly truth, but sometimes you say to escape from situation, you have to tell lies. That's not the best situation. It is better to keep quiet than speaking the truth, but not to tell the lies. That's more powerful, right? So, similarly, not to tell lies and not to do things which are not necessary, and that power, unnecessarily doing things all the time, one thing or the other, it is only to create this mind that all the anushtanam is for. That is the profit of this big thing about anushtanam. Different upasana processes, everything is for that purpose, right? That not to do anything, what is not required, right? So, in that way, you will have nivritti from so many things. From so many things, right? Release. That's what's called release. You get released from so many entanglements. So, Shastram, it's drishti. It looks at release, not one entanglement, in every level. Shastram's importance is on release, releasing you from bondage in everything, right? And that is why Krishna is saying there, create that gap in life, right? So, for example, if somebody tells you to stay quiet in some place, people find that difficult, isn't it? Because after doing karmam whole life, it has gone so deep inside, it has become very difficult to sit one in some place quietly, right? So, one person said, you chant the holy name, he said. So then he's asking, how much time should I chant? That'll be the next question coming from that, right? This is as much as possible, right? So, after a long time, for a long period of time, if you chant, what happens is, it creates a sort of a block in the flow of karma, in your karma, that karmic nature in us. You see, doing. Some people are very big doers, aren't they? That vasana inside is so strong, that pravaham of the karma come to a stop, right? So, japam, chanting, if it is done with nishkamam, without any desires, without any sangam, and without expecting any results, right? Simply because Shastram says, tells you to do it, Bhagavadam says, Krishna is saying, Prabhupada is saying, and all the great personalities are saying, if you do that in that basis, right, his selfishness will be sacrificed in that karma, in that process. That's a benefit. Simply by doing that, right? Because you're not expecting anything from that. Doing things without getting anything from that, we have not practiced that. We only practiced this for several lifetimes, that to do and get, to do something and to get something from that, right? You have to think the deeper side of this, right? In order to create this understanding in the society, right, the rishis created brahmanas for this purpose. This is why brahmana group has come into this world. If you see the proper brahmanas, you will find this quality in them, that sacrificing nature. They may not be doing big projects and all that, but their life, if you look at it, you will see they can act without selfishness. That big heart in them, right? So what rishis have done is that their intention was at least a few people in the society live like that, without selfishness. You cannot do that with the whole society. That's not possible, right? At least a few people live in this world in a way that they don't give importance to money, and they give importance to Shastram, studying the Shastram, and guide others, and they be the role models for rest to look up to. This was the idea behind the creation of the Brahminical class. Rishis have done this deliberately because they know that if there are a few people who are not selfish, whose life is a life of sacrifice for others, and who study Shastram, and similarly teaching others the Shastram, and living a selfless life, everyone will be affected by that. Others will be affected by that. They will look up, and that was always like that. Traditionally, that was how society existed. Now it's all messed up. Varnashram Dharmam is completely gone. Now the Vaishyas have become the topmost one, the glorified Vaishyas, who are making the maximum amount of money in this world. They are always spoken, glorified in the society. They were never glorified before. There were people, the kings were there with the wealth, but the Brahmanas were respected more than the king. Not the ones who have got a lot of wealth. But now in the society, wealth is respected. He says he has made 25,000 crores in the last 20 years' time with his startup and all that. All kinds of things you see in the paper. When you see that, it's disgusting actually, that you are glorifying such a thing, that somebody has made so much money in life. Is that something to be glorified? But on the other hand, all the culture and all the knowledge came from the other class. These people who have given up their life, sacrificed their life for studying Shastram and practiced in their life. It is they who guided the society and we had less problems. Now when this has come, what has happened? Full of crime everywhere. The criminal mentality has built up inside in people. This is what happened. They don't understand that. That if you keep on glorifying these people who have got wealth and they have made a lot of wealth in life, if you glorify them, the young people or the ignorant ones will get carried away by that. And they will want to make money hook or crook, and they will turn into criminal activities. This is the end result of that. Anyway, so they also knew one thing, that this is not possible for everyone to do that. Only a very selected few people who have got that vasana inside can do that. And if these things can be cultivated in an individual, it will become a success if it is done in a individuals, right? But if you try to create a society, it will fail. That's the way it is. You see, these qualities, in certain individuals you can cultivate that, individually, who have that trend in them, fate in them, that vasana inside. Because everything is vasana, which is coming from previous life. Yeah. So, and if you say all these things, they won't understand it also. That's the beauty of this. That why rishis have created a situation, system like this, right? If you try to create a society, it will be a failure. And so successful has to be in an individual first. In an individual it becomes, if an individual tries this, he can become successful, right? Karma yogam, bhalatyagam, all these things, These are all bombshell for the society, general society, right? And it is difficult for the ego to surrender, right? So, Krishna is saying that here. Because what Krishna is saying is basically that create that sacrificing nature, get closer to that Brahminical consciousness, Brahminical nature. Brahmanyam, that is Brahmanyam. Brahmanyam is that if you become greedy and wealth acquiring and making wealth as the leaders, if there's a society, then the society will end up in trouble at the end. It's only a question of time, right? Then he said, if that is also not possible, if you cannot do that even, adhaidhara pyashaktosi kartumal yogamashrida sarva karma bhalatyagam tatkuryada atmavan. So, if you can't do anything like that, special puja, japam, anushtanam, even if you don't have that, you do your karma with a selfish motive, swartham, right? Ultimately, after that, karma bhalatyagam, he says, you do that. Yadatmavan, tadakuru yadatmavan, he says, right? Yadatmavan means, with effort, deliberately, forcefully do it. Deliberately and forcefully you do it, right? Karma bhalam, tyagam. So, sarva karma bhala tyagam. Adaidada pyashaktosi, kartumman yogamashvila, sarva karma bhala tyagam. Tada kuru yadatmavan. In other words, you are not able to do anything other options what Krishna has spoken before. This is the last one, he is saying. This last thing, what you can do, he says. Krishna saying, karma bhalam tyagam. Whatever bhalam is there, tyagam. Give up that, right? Means that the power of shastram, salsangam, spiritual master, and the secret of karma yoga, all these things, right? Take that inside the knowledge, reflect on that, and if you do that, that anusandhanam will create a force inside us if you do that, right? In other words, in our nature, you see, everything is coming from svabhavam, isn't it? Vasana inside. It will create, if you do give up everything, give to Krishna then, it will create sometime a certain degree of tapasa inside. Tapobalam, it's called, right? When you do karmam and you get the results from that, initially there is attachment to it, right? But if you give it up, this reaction level, this sangam will gradually come down when you receive the results from the karmam. The attachment will gradually fade away, right? So what is Krishna saying is, till you come to that stage, continue doing it, right? And that is the next verse. And after that, Krishna is saying that who is a devotee after this, right? So till now in this chapter, that means including this 11th verse, what Krishna has done is that he has shown, told us that planting the seed, watering the seed, putting the manure, every fertilizer, everything, making the fencing around it, all other things related to bhakti. That's what he has spoken till now. Right? And if we finish the next verse, what we are going to see now, what will be the benefit of all these things? Like Bhagavatam says, Negama Kalpadaror Galidam Bhalam. Right? Krishna is saying, what is a devotee then? Right? What will be a devotee look like? What is he like? Right? And then Krishna is saying, that devotee, I like him. That is how Bhakti Yogam Chaturindi Bhagavad Gita is. Right? And it is the symptoms of that devotee, what is spoken in this chapter, is the special part of this chapter. Right? Why? Because Krishna says, such a person is a devotee, he is saying. So you can see when you read that, what he means by a devotee, right? All our misunderstanding about a devotee will go with that, right? So, that is the next verse, right? So, first thing is to understand that without upasana, without sadhana, everything will happen because of Krishna's mercy. Some people are like that. They'll say, I'm just leaving everything to Krishna, Krishna's mercy, and I'm depending on that, they will say. It won't happen that way. That also won't happen, right? But the other hand, only by sadhana or upasana alone, it won't work either. And that is why Krishna says, yoga karmasu kaushalam, he says. Kaushalam is this. Some people say, I left everything to Krishna, and they will do what they want then. That is not surrender, right? And some others have complete faith in their sadhana. They think, I'll get it done through my effort. Both are wrong. Both are wrong, right? Upasana is required, Krishna's mercy is required. Bringing them together is kaushalam. That is the skill in together in doing that, right? So, our buddhi is like this. We'll understand that it only knows one thing, either doing or not doing it, right? Is it not? Buddhi knows only that. Either we want to do something or we don't want to do it. These both we will understand, right? But same time, to do it and not to do it, that siddhantam buddhi cannot understand. Buddhi find that difficult, right? Buddhi knows only one thing. Either it can do something or it cannot do something. It cannot do anything, right? So, that is why Krishna says, it is difficult, some of the verses in the Bhagavad Gita, when Krishna says this, right? He said, jara marana mokshaya mam ashrite yatandiye. You do the things, ye brahma tadvidu krishnam adhyatmam karma chagilam. Adhyatmam is like that. Depend on me and you do what you have to do. And that buddhi cannot comprehend that. Buddhi can do something if you tell the buddhi to do it. Or if you tell the buddhi don't do it, it won't do it. But this situation what Krishna has spoken, right? Mama ashrite yatandiye. Depending on Krishna and then do it. That buddhi does not know how to do that, right? And it is because of this only in Kathopanishad, that famous verse, Uttishtada Jagrada Prapyavaram Nibhodada Churasya Dharya Nishidam Durateya Durgam Padastal Kavayo Vadandi. Why spiritual life is difficult? It's because of this. Churasya Dharya Nishidam Durateya Durgam Padastal Kavayo Vadandi. You say. It's like walking on a razor edge. Spiritual life is like that, right? So, and it says, Jagrada. You have to Uttishtada Jagrada, it says. So, Upasana Margam, whatever Upasana we do, or Vijara Margam, Brahma Vidya, Vijara Margam, or Karma Yogam, whatever you do, once you come to spiritual life, Adhyatmam, whether it is Karma Yogam, Jnana Yogam, Bhakti Yogam, the responsibility is on your head. Responsibility is on you. not for somebody else, it's on you, right? Even though we will say it's all Ishvara's Kripa, Krishna's Kripa, this is just words, doesn't mean anything more than that, right? Sometimes when you hear something, you are saying one thing today, you are saying something else another day. Contradictions you will find in great personalities when they speak, right? And tomorrow you will say something else. You remember when Vivekananda Swamiji went to Chicago, when he spoke there, right? First day he was talking about Jnana Yoga, and he said, this is the highest way of self-realization. And then he spoke about Karma Yoga, then he spoke about Bhakti Yoga on different days. And so one old lady who was there, naturally her mind is structured in a different way. She comes up to him and said that yesterday you spoke Karma Yoga, and then today you spoke Bhakti Yoga, and you said that yesterday you said Karma Yoga is the highest, now you say Bhakti Yoga is the highest. So Vivekananda's answer was that yesterday is yesterday, today is today, he said. That's how difficult it is for most of the people to understand all these things, right? So, in Keno Upanishad you will see this in the beginning, Pradibodha Vihitam Matam, it said, right? So, Adhyatma Patham, the spiritual path is, right? When should we do the upasana? If you ask that question, there's only one answer. Now, right now, right? Somebody asks, when should I chant? Now is the answer, right? When should you perform dhyana meditation? Now, that's the answer. Because in spiritual life, what matters is now. Not past what is gone or the future which is unknown. Past is all gone. Future is all imagination. What will happen in the future is also unknown. Past is gone. So importance in spiritual life is now if you do it. It should be done now, right? And because every in your anubhavam, in your experience, only now exists, right? Tomorrow is not in your experience yet. Right, and when it comes into your experience, it becomes now. Then, tomorrow, when it comes into your experience, it becomes now. Right, and what has happened yesterday, it's not in your experience anymore. That's also over. Right, so spiritual life is always now. When you are there, that's the time when you are fully conscious of that. Right. And so, and therefore, in the Kathopanishad, Ihemaeva Vedi, it has to happen now. Otherwise, Mahadi Vinashti, you have lost everything. If you have not done it now, you have lost it. Right? So, if you have not known this spiritual understanding of Bhagavad Gita, what Krishna is saying here, right? You have lost a big thing. in other words, in this lifetime, you have got a chance now. And if you have not taken advantage of it, you have lost it, right? To think that future I will do it, it has no meaning in spiritual path, right? Because as far as next life is concerned, what that life will be, where you will be born, very difficult to say that, is it not? And Maharshis have spoken, Rishis have spoken about that. Bhartrihari says this. He said, the important thing, you have to, because normally people look at life in the terms of punyam pavam, pious activities, sinful activities, right? Bhartrihari says, the one thing you have to be worried about is punyam, he says. Right? Because, suppose you acquired a lot of punyam in this life, and then he says you will have to go and stay in the heavenly planets for a long time, and then you will forget everything. And you will get affected by the conditions in the heavenly planets. It will capture you there, right? And after the one day it will run out there, and then you will come back. And at that time, where you will get birth, and what kind of situation you will have, whether you will have the connection with the Shastram properly, Sampradaya, Shraddha, Bhakti, all these things will be there or not, who knows, he says. Bhartrahari says, right? So, who knows? Nobody knows about that, right? So therefore, when you got a chance, it should be done then, not another time, not to be kept for future. And when you get a chance means Krishna's mercy is flowing, coming favorably to us at that time. And when there is that strength inside us to do it, at that time you should take advantage. In spiritual life it is like that, right? That means in this lifetime what we got is an opportunity Krishna has given. And if we don't use it, we lost it. That's all. Right? Similarly, chanting the holy name, when you have the strength, the mind and the body is favorable. Right? Same thing with the meditation. Right? If you think that everything I'll do it at the old age, it may not happen. That is the point. Right? And anything can happen in this way in life. Right? All kinds of problems, obstacles can come in life, blocks, in other words, right? Therefore, for Bhakti Yoga also, Krishna says, Dhyanam, meditation, it is right now. Tum Raksha Rakshadhuna, says. Raksha has to be now. Yeah? And so that prayer is the first thing, the first step in Upasana. In Upasana, right? So, one who is doing Upasana, or Upasaka is called, one who is doing the Upasana, he has to feel this, that I am being separated from Krishna, and I need that meditation inside, Dhyanam has to come, right? And I need to experience that, Krishna inside, Antaryami inside. If that prayer comes, I need to have that attachment to Krishna, bhakti has to come. If that comes, it means that the seed of bhakti has come inside. If these thoughts are coming inside, the seed of bhakti has come, right? Or in other words, the bijam of the sadhana has come, right? And you will notice that if this seed has come inside, then all other things what is required for bhakti, favorable things, will be brought in front of you by that power, Purva Shakti. That Shakti, Krishna's energy works like that. Once we have in the same thing what Krishna says in another way, in the Bhagavad Gita, right? Then if the seed has come inside, bhakti ladha bijam they call it, bhakti, that seed has come inside, the other things what is required will be automatically arranged favorably by Krishna's arrangement. It will happen in life, right? And when that everything becomes conducive, favorably like that, and that is what is called kripa. Krishna's kripa means that. Everything coming favorably in life to execute bhakti. Yeah. And you will see all things coming together in life. Yeah. Krishna will give you the satsangam. Krishna will give you the right literature and the knowledge, right? And you otherwise, all the books will be at home. You won't be reading it. It will be all in the shelf. Because somebody told you, if you keep it in the shelf, that's enough. You'll go back home, back to Godhead. That kind of thing, yeah? So a lot of people buy like that. They never open it. It will stay like that in the almirah or cabinet, right? And even if they take it and read it, they say, this doesn't make any sense. and put it back there. And it will stay like that for years and years, right? So, and a lot of books people carry like that in their library. Bhagavatam, full set of Bhagavatam. Commentaries also, Bhagavad Gita, commentaries as well, right? Upanishads people keep, but they never read it. They kept it like that, right? And then he disappears, right? The person who kept it, he left this world. And then the books are still in the cabinet. Children and grandchildren, they have no interest. It will be lying like that. And nobody cares to read, right? And they think that, oh my, dad and granddad, they were reading all these kind of books. They couldn't relate with these books, right? So when you lose a language, like this is a language, isn't it? That bhakti is a language to relate with the shastram. It's a language, right? If you lose that, the whole culture is lost along with that, right? And it is a warning to the generation, next generation, that this is what will happen. And that's what is happening actually. This is how it happened all the time. That one generation is not able to connect with the next one, right? And so many great creations of great personalities, great devotees, has gone into oblivion. People do not know about them anymore. And you will see another thing. Many organizations nowadays, they collect all these things from places, very rare documents, ancient documents, and they keep it in a cabinet, almirah, like in a museum, so that this is all waste of time. Nothing is going to happen. What's the point in keeping? So many people are doing this. They don't read it. They don't follow it either. So this has to be living in this world. The knowledge of, say for example, Bhartahari and many other great personalities, or many of them, their writings, it's lying in all sorts of places. Lot of them were taken away by the invaders at different times. Particularly the British took away a lot of things from there and brought it, and that is in the museum here. And who is using it? If you don't use them, what's the point in having it? It's just like, you can say, this was written 5,000 years ago, and you can pay £10, buy a ticket, and go and look at it, all these things, and come back. Well, what's the use? This is what the world is today. It just shows the ignorance in us, right? So, shastram is to be used in life. And if it is of no use in life, then that shastram is useless. What do you do from that? So, I see that with our ISKCON also doing the same thing. They have started some place, archives they call it, and collecting all the documents from Bhaktivinoda Thakur and so many other great personalities, what they have written, and collecting them all together and storing them. But where is somebody studying them, and where is the practice of that, right? So, similarly, many spiritual literature has gone in that way. Never used, but it has all gone into some shelf somewhere, somebody's house or some archives, it is sitting there, right? In every tradition, you will see this, right? Okay. And now it has come to this, that everything, if it's only written in English, people will be able to understand. It has come to that now. If it's not in English, it's not shastram anymore. It has come to that situation, right? So, and therefore this translation has become important. Everybody is doing translation now. And And the, because people will, they think that that's the only way you can penetrate into people's life now, through English. It has come to that, right? And English, which is not a spiritual language either, so much divine literature has come in the last 50, 60 years. Lot of spiritual literature has come in English now, which never existed before in English, right? So anyway, English has become very divine language now because of all this. Whereas if you look into Sanskrit or Tamil, how much literature is there, if nobody is reading it. Only the in their generations coming, they will read it in English only and understand it, right? So, what we receive through generation after generations, right? We have completely spoiled that. Whole thing has gone due to these invasions and all that, right? And the basic problem is that language has lost. The language has created this problem, right? They are not able to understand. If you tell the children anything, they can't understand about it, right? So, but what we have to remember is that the samskaram has gone because of that, right? They may be good children externally, right? And they also have their own way of acquiring knowledge through internet and Google and all that, but it is not the same thing, right? So that is why language is important. And when the language is gone, the whole culture goes away with that, right? This bhakti includes all these things, bhasha, music, similarly, right? Daily life, daily practices, right? Anushtanam, charya, everything, right? Because this bhakti is involved in all these things, everything has to be protected, right? That is the difference between jnanam and bhakti, right? Jnanam doesn't require like this. Jnanam is different. In bhakti, all things are involved. Jnanam even doesn't require books. But jnanam requires shastram or to that extent, right? Only you should be available for that, for the jnanam, right? Provided you are mature in a particular way for jnanamargam. If you are matured in a particular way, jnanamargam can work for you. That's the beauty of jnanam. Right? As long as you have that vairagyam inside, like they say, jnanam, bhakti are the two wings, jnanam and vairagyam are the two wings of bhakti, they say. Is it not? In Padmapuranam it says, jnanam and vairagyam are the two wings of the bird called bhakti. Right? So, jnana-margam is vijaya-margam, more internal, very inward-looking nature, right? And it is not very difficult for a person who is an introvert in that inward-looking nature who has, that to know that he is Brahman, Sachidananda Brahman, and he heard it from an authority and it worked for him straight away, right? Shrodavyam, Mandavyam, Nididhyasidavyam, right? So, Jnana-margam realization is one method. Bhakti-margam is different, right? And so, Jnani, when he lives in this world, his expertise is that he will cultivate that samskaram inside on his own, right? And when he speaks, the language will be there in that. And he may have karmam to do while in this world. Yogam will be there. In other words, his life will be such that the driving force from Antaryami is working for him all the time. There is a difference in bhakti and jnanam. Right? Jnanamargam is such that what is within our circumstances, right? What is favorable, only Jnani will work with it. What is not favorable, he will move away from there. Right? So that is why when you give a complete samskaram, totally give up, right? Bhasha, language also. All these things, art, culture, all these things you will see, temple arts, temple culture, music, it's all a part of that bhakti tradition. Bhakti cannot stay otherwise. Bhakti requires all that things. Language is required. Temple arts are required. Music is required. And this all become, the temple is complete with all these things only. It's not only the deity in the temple. Temple, and then the shastram is required. Discussion of the shastram is required. Everything is a contribution to bhakti, unlike jnanam. In jnanam, all these things are not much of an importance. Arts, music and things like that. You may have observed yourself, analyzed yourself, you can see that. Bhakti becomes complete when you have all these things to support. And when you throw away language, you lose all those things. Music is lost. Different types of temple arts existed before. So many different types of temple arts. Everything has gone into extinct now. Nobody is there to promote them because of this problem, language problem. Language has gone away in that way. Right? So, just like we have body, mind, senses, intelligence, all these things, right? Everything requires its own nourishment. Body requires its own, mind requires its own, intelligence requires its own. So in Bhakti Yoga, that is the important thing, right? Just like when you construct a building, you require so many ingredients for that, is it not? Cement, mortar, stones, all kinds of things. And when you build it, the way it is built, at a particular time cement is thrown, mixture with the sand, and then the blocks are brought inside. Step by step you build it up, the building. Right. So, because our weakness inside, bhakti means creating that bhava-mandalam inside, mano-mandalam or bhava-mandalam inside, right? And it requires the support of all the things in the body, support of the mind, support of the senses, support of the gross body in order to develop bhakti, right? So, that is why in the social level also, that different types of support like this, through music, through arts, through shastram discussions. That is why bhakti has got a number of sides to it, various sides to it, right? So therefore, rishis, when they came to bhakti yogam, they gave you all kinds of supporting pillars for bhakti. These are all supporting pillars. Music is supporting pillar. And saptaham is supporting pillar. Similarly, different types of temple arts like Kathak, Kathakali, Bharatanatyam, all these are so that you are connected to bhakti somehow. Right? So, in that way, Bhakti Yogam is a royal road with all these things together, right? So Krishna spoke about all the other things, and stage by stage he came, spoke about it, right? And he said that the the best thing he is talking about is, he said here, that the earlier he mentioned that, sarva bhuta hite ratha, he said, in the fourth verse, saniyamendire gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarva bhuta hite ratha. About the jnani, he spoke like that, sarva bhuta hite ratha, right? He is situated in the self and controlling his senses, andarmukhattvam, inward looking, right? And full realization, he is that eternal, pure consciousness, nitya shuddha buddha mukta sarupam, right? And established in that, and he said that, sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnuvandi mameva sarvabhuta hite ratha, right? So, he is Brahmanishta, he is situated in the Brahma, he says. And then he said that is the Lakshya, the goal, right? And he said to Arjuna that reaching me finally is the perfection, that self-realization, in other words. When one we realize that, we are that Purna Vastu, we are that Brahman, that is when you realize that I don't have birth or death. And I am perfect on myself, complete, Antaryami. Right? So Krishna spoke about that in the beginning. When he, you see, you have to remember all the verses, right? First of all, in the end of 11th chapter, Krishna said there that the Malkarma Krata Malparama Malbhakta, Sangavarjita, Nurvaira, Sarvabhudeshu, then Yasamamedi Pandava. You'll come back to me, he said. First of all, he said Malkarma, Malpara, Malbhakta, Sangavarjita, Nurvaira, Sarvabhudeshu. If you are like that, Yasamamedi Pandava. That was Krishna's concluding words in that chapter. Arjuna heard this Malbhakta Sangavarjita. What does that mean? Who is that Bhakta you're talking about? He asked that question in the first verse. Evam Sadadayuktaye Bhaktastum Paryuvasade. Basically, you can say whether it is a personal form or impersonal worship, which is better. That was Arjuna's question, right? So, Evam Sadadayuktaye Bhaktastum Paryuvasade or Ejabi Aksharam Avyaktam. Antaryami Upasana, which one is better? Which is the impersonal Brahman worship in Antaryami inside? Krishna didn't answer that question directly. Instead, what did he say? Shraddhaya Vareo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamamada. That's how Krishna answered that question. Instead of directly answering that question, this is better or that's better, Krishna didn't say anything. Krishna says, My Avesha Mano Yema Nitya Yukta Upasade Shraddhaya Vareo Vedas Teme Yukta Tamamada. One who has got Shraddha, he is the best, he said. And then he said that the anirdesham aksharam inside, avyaktam, which is avyaktam, sarvatram agamam achindyam cha kudastam achalam dhruvam, it is difficult to follow that because of the one who can do that, it is the best, right? He will come back to me and you see what Krishna has spoken about that. And then he said this finally, that he is good because saniyamendire gramam sarvatra samabuddhaya te prapnubandhi mameva sarvabhuta hidayarada. Krishna says, I like him because he has got sarvatra samabuddhi, has come to him. Then he said, klesho adhikadarasthesham. But that path is difficult for ordinary people. You see, what he spoke in the words 3 and 4 is difficult for ordinary people. Klesho adhikatarastesham avyakta asakta chedasam avyakta hi gedur dukkham dehavadhiravapyade. Because when we are very absorbed in the body, it is very difficult to go inwards and worship Antaryami like that. It is not easy. So he put that point to Arjuna like that and he stopped it there. And then he came back to karma and he started saying various things. Edu sarvani karmani mai sanyasya. So he spoke about that, right? Do all the karma surrendered to me, right, depending on me. And if you are able to do that, that's good. Mandhyayantam upasade. If you do that, Krishna says, Tesham aham samudhartha. Mrityu samsara sar. I will take care of him. Bhavami ajiral partha. Mayyaveshada chetasam. Provided that he is able to Mandhyayantam upasade. Ananyeva yogena. It's all a state of consciousness in that way. Then he said, if that is not possible, then engage your buddhi in me, nivasishyasi, mind and intelligence in me, adha urdhunna samshaya. And then if that is not possible, practice it, he says. Abhyasa yoga yuktena, that's the ninth verse. And then in the tenth verse he said, if that's not possible, kurvan siddhim avapsisi, do everything for me. Then if that's also not possible, then he said, sarvakarma pratyagam, kartum mad yogam ashrita, tada kuriyat atmavan, give everything what you have got to me. In this way, step by step, Krishna has spoken. Began with the last verse of the 11th chapter. Malkarma krata malparam. It is a flow of that, continuation of that is these all these verses, right? So, and he mentioned there that the because body is there and we have identification with the body, ahangaram there, right? This has to be taken out, but it can't be done it overnight. It has to be done gradually. How to wipe out this ahangaram from inside, right? And in that way, gradually go up, right? And therefore, in the bodily platform, what is possible? That's what Krishna has spoken a lot of that. Karmam, the results of the karmam, offering the results, things like that, everything, right? So that's all on the bodily level. Because karmam is done by the body and it brings the results, and in that way. Then he told Arjuna that if you want to become free from material existence, from the cycle of birth and death, right? Because in material life, material existence means suffering all the time of the adhyatmiyam, adhivauriyam, adhidevigam, all these things, right? And if you have to become free from that while living in this world, right? Right in the middle like of a flood, you are stuck. It's like a flood, isn't it? The material world is like you're like in a river which is flooded and you are in the middle of that, right? And if you have this prayer inside that you want the shelter, protection from Krishna, right? It will involve, it says you're just crying for help, right? And it's like when we come to this world, we come crying. Nobody has come to this world smiling, is it? Every one of us has come crying to this world. Right. And similarly, when you come to this world, first thing is we cry. Everybody cries, right? In fact, if you don't cry, people get worried. Why isn't he cry? If you cry, baby cries, everybody is happy, right? So, as soon as a child, baby cry, everything comes to the baby, right? And that power which has brought the mother to look after, and the milk also, and that protection what the baby needs is all pre-arranged by Krishna's arrangement. It's arranged like that, is it not? And that power does not leave us at that moment. Only when it's baby it needs the help, after that it doesn't need the help. That is not the principle, right? When we have grown up, that power has still not gone. It's still there, right? Similarly, when we were in the womb of the mother, who protected us? Krishna protected us. Otherwise, we wouldn't have survived there, right? So that power is always active, right? And it is that power that has spoken Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is that power, isn't it? Krishna is that power. And it is that power who has spoken Bhagavad Gita, right? So, that power is saying, if you are not capable of looking after yourself, then I will be there, right? Provided you have to tell me that you can't look after yourself, then I will be there, right? And in devotees' life, great personalities, if you look, this is when divine intervention happened in their life. They themselves said to Krishna that we can't do it, we can't manage ourselves. Unless you protect us, we won't survive. That surrender has come to them, right? And at that moment, that mercy which came in the womb, which looked after us when we were born, that same mercy comes to them, right? And those stories are there about devotees who have been protected in that way, right? And in all that, what Krishna is doing is giving a proof to the devotee that I am still there. And at different stages, Krishna makes those devotees to say this, that Krishna has protected them in life, right? And when that happens, only when you say to Krishna that I am nobody, it's you who is doing, that has to be very genuinely come from inside, right? Sometimes in the society, generally we say, we have to do 50% and Krishna has to do 50%. Is it not? People say like that. We have to do 50%. Mothers tell the children sometimes when they don't study. They tell, so the child is saying to the mother, if I get his 50% is enough, I'll still pass through. They make the excuse like that. Yeah, pass mark is only 35 or 40. So if it is, you know, children how they are, when you tell them to study, they say, this is how it is, 50% you have to do, 50% you have to go to the temple and Krishna has to help you, the remaining 50%. So the children will say, I'm happy if he can give me that 50%, that's more than enough, he says, I'll get through, right? So, so this is how it is, bhakti is like that, yeah? If you can't do anything in life, you feel helpless, totally, right? Then Sharanagari, and that's what bhakti is all about. Bhakti, science of bhakti is Sharanagari, right? And totally surrendering to him, then you will see that body, mind, everything else, this higher power will take control of that. And that you can see in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is mentioning this. Tesham aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagara bhavami na chiral partha maya aveshita chetasa. You remember that 7th verse. He said, Tesham aham samuddhartha mrityu samsara sagara bhavami na chiral partha maya aveshita chetasa. He said, so, mrityu samsara sagara means, mrityu is for the body and samsaram is for the mind. Is it not? Mind is the one who is in the samsaram, material existence, right? So when these two things come together, mrityu samsara sagaram, right? From, he says, I will protect you from both. So Sharanagati is the beginning of bhakti. Proper bhakti is Sharanagati, right? And when a jiva surrenders to that power, Mahashakti, Krishna's Shakti, right? At that time, that Shakti captures him and then he starts purifying him. This is how bhakti comes, right? So, and it will purify him. So these things are only effective when one who has doing sadhana in the adhyatmam, spiritual life, right? One who is practicing, doing sadhana in spiritual path, it is for him these rules apply. Otherwise, if you are not doing any sadhana, you are just hearing something and then forgotten afterwards, this won't make any benefit, right? so, Bhagavad Gita, along with the sadhana, that is when it becomes effective. That's when it becomes effective, right? In other words, Krishna is expecting that. That without sadhana, upasana, simply hearing about from Bhagavad Gita is not going to do anything. It will just come and it will become an academic knowledge, that's all. But its fruition is when one is actively engaged in spiritual life. That's when this Sharanagati happens, and to help that Sharanagati is Krishna is saying all these things. Krishna will say this before, Sadhureva Samandavya Samyang Vavasido Hisa. Right. When did he come to spiritual life? When he surrendered, Krishna says. When Sharanagati has happened, that is what they call prapati, in other words. Right? So with that, there is a divine link between the devotee and Krishna. Right? And only then Krishna says he is a sadhu. He is a sadhu then. Right? And if that has not come, whatever we may do, still we will be circulating in the cycle of birth and death. We will be still rotating without any benefit. Right? And that is why punaravijananam, punaravimaranam. Punaravijani, jadareshayanam, idi samsare, bahudustare, kruvayapare, vahimurare. Right? So, that ocean, you cannot see the end of this ocean of material life, right? So, that is why it says, right, to show the mercy to come from Krishna, right? In Bhagavatam, it will explain in a different way. If you look into the 8th canto, it says that one person is drowning in the ocean, right? And a guru has come to him, in front of him, and wanted to take him out from that, to put him in the boat and take him away. But if you think of putting this kajal in the eye at that moment, when you require shelter, right, it is not a decoration for the body. So, when what he said, he said that, if you look at that verse in the 8th canto, Malsyavadharam story, last chapter. Achakshurandasya yadagrani krila tadajana savidrisho abudho gurum tom arkadrik sarvodasham samikshano vrudho gururna sukajim bhubul sadam. Then, there he is saying, the Malsyavadharam, the king, Satyavrata Maharshi, Satyavrata Muni is talking about it, right? That anadi vidyobahada alpa samvidam tanmulam samsara parishramaduram how Guru has come in life, spiritual life, and has saved him, right? So, if you go into Lord Brahma says the same thing in the 14th chapter, Brahmasuri, if you look, you will say there also. He's saying the same thing. The evam is 24th verse 10:14:24. Evam vidham tuam sagal alpmanam abhi swalpmanam alpmalpadaya vichakshade guru arkalabdho upanishalsu chakshusha yede tarandiva bhavanradam budhi guru arkalabdho upanishalsu chakshusha. Right? Yede tarandiva bhavanradam budhim. What is he saying? He's saying that evam vidam tvam sakalalpanam abhi. Brahma is saying this, right? in the Brahmastuti that he has surrendered to you. So Atmanam Atmalmadaya Vijakshade, and what happened to him? This material world doesn't exist. Guru Arka Labdho Upanishads Chakshusha. Upanishads Chakshusha means Shastra Chakshusha, which he has received that from the Guru. And that Upanishad sun is compared to a sun, Upanishads. That sun has risen inside. Guru Arka Labdho Upanishads Chakshusha Yede Tarandiva Bhavanradam Budhim. So, Guru Kripa, spiritual master's mercy, is like that. Krishna is also saying the same thing, what Brahma is saying here. If you look into the 14th chapter in the 11th canto, you'll find, Yatha Yadhalpa Parimrajade So, Mal Punya Ghada Shravanabhidhane Tatha. Pashyati Vastu Sushmam Chakshurdevai Anjana Samprayuktam. So, Pashyati Vastu Sushmam, that realization inside, that Vastu is inside, Andaryami is inside, Sushma Vastu, right? And after that, when he looked outside, what he sees is only that Alma Vastu. He is not seeing Namarupam anymore. Namarupam has disappeared. Seeing Namarupam means in Maya, seeing Maya, through Maya. Asti Bhadi Priyam, Satya Chitta Anandam is Atma, Andaryami. And right now, when we are looking at everything, we are only seeing Namarupam. And how to become free from that? Seeing them, everything, Pashyati Vastu Sushmam, right? That means there is only Atma here. Atma has become like this, in the form of all these different names and forms, everything. But you won't see the name and form, you will see Atma in everything. Krishna will say these things in the Bhagavad Gita more, talked about it, right? In the beginning of second chapter itself, he's explaining that, right? So, this Ahankaram inside, what we are identifying with at the moment, right? That has to go, and Krishna's mercy has to come, only then we will escape. Otherwise it is difficult, right? So, in order to do that to happen, first of all that desire has to come inside, is it not? When you are strongly grounded in the body, spiritual knowledge and all looks very difficult. It's not at all fascinating. It's not difficult to take interest in spiritual life when you are very grounded in the body, right? So therefore, that is why Krishna, in the you see this in the Bhagavatam, how that is spoken is. He said, Sudha Goswami came to Naimisharanyam. Right. Shaunagada Rishis, all the Rishis were present there. They are performing this satram, famous satram there. And if you look at the last verse in that chapter, you'll find first chapter, first canto, first chapter, first last verse. Surgaya Logaya Samamasta Satram Samamasada, it says. The idea was to go to Surgam. Purpose of performing that sacrifice was like that. Then, when Shaunaga Rishi and others said that to Sudha Goswami, Sudha Goswami told them that the purpose of satram is not that, he said. If you look at that verse, in this, not first chapter, I think, yeah. It's in the Samamasata, it says. First chapter, fourth verse, you look. Naimishe nimisha chetre, krishaya shaunagadaya, satram surgaya lokaya, sahasra samamasata. So while they were performing that sacrifice, that was the goal. Surgaya lokaya. Sahasra samamasada, 1,000 years lasting sacrifice they were doing there. Naimishe nimisha chetre, krishaya shaunagadaya. Shaunagadi rishis were doing that. Sudha Goswami told them, that is not the goal, he said. That's not the goal. What did he say to him? He says, Savaipum sam paro dharmam, yato bhakti radhokshate, ahai dugi apratihata, yen alpa samprasidati. He said, that is the purpose, right? Then, Savaipum sam paro dharmam, yato bhakti radhokshate, ahai dugi apratihata, yen alpa samprasidati. Then he said that the ultimately he will say that the vadandita tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavanidi shabdyade. He said there, is it not? So when he said that tattvam is important, tattvam, in order to have that tattvam, you have to have tattva jijnasa first. Yeah? Tattvam is vadandita tattvavidam. Tattvam, etnyanam, adhyayetnyanam. To reach there is the goal. That, to get that tattvam. Krishna is that tattvam, right? So he mentioned that vadandita tattvavidam, tattvam etnyanam, advayam, brahmedi, paramatmedi, bhagavani nishabdade. That advayetnyanam, that is the goal, which is addressed as Brahma, Paramatma, Bhagavan in that way. Advayetnyanam is that goal, right? But to get there, vadandita tattvam, tattvavidam, you have to have tattva jityasa first. And for that tattva jityasa, he is saying there that dharma sunishtita pumsam, vishvaksena kadasuyad, mulpadaya nidiradim shramayevahi yavalam, dharmasya havavargasin arthatayoma kalpade, arthasya dharmayikandasya, kamolabhayasprada, kamasya indriyapriti labho jiveta yavada, jivasya tattva jityasa. So all those verses, if you see, that Sudha Goswami corrected the rishis there and told them that Surgalogam is not the goal, Tattvam is the goal. In order to get to Tattvam, Tattva Jijnasa is required. For Tattva Jijnasa, Bhakti is required. In that way, in the second chapter, Sudha Goswami has given them a direction to the rishis there, who are present in the Namisharanyam. This is how Bhagavatam begins, right? So, so the principle is this: where does bhakti comes in all these things, right? So, this desire to come inside first. Then what is the purpose of bhakti? To know the tattvam at the end. So that is why when that happens, that desire comes like that. Or in other words, a burning desire inside for self-realization. That what is the goal? And very clarity on the goal, right? At that time, all other supporting elements will come in its own way, what's required in life, right? So, for knowing the tattvam, buddhi is required, right? If buddhi captures the tattvam, this is the tattvam, self-realization. But it's just saying that won't help. You have to get it in the proper way inside. Why that tattvam is important? if it has come inside, gone inside, wherever you go, whatever you do in life, this force inside will be operating all the time. Self-realization as the goal, right? Even due to prarabdham, if your body has gone and ended up in some difficult situations, right? This dhyanam inside, anusandhanam, will continue. It will not go away. So, anusandhanam, in order that to happen, the other dosham has to go, other problems has to go away, right? And that is why, how to develop that strong tattva-jitnyasa inside. Tattva-jitnyasa inside. Yeah? And that is the art behind it. Because if tattva-jitnyasa has come inside, then what Krishna is saying is, without your knowledge, it will start working from inside. Everything will come favorably for self-realization, right? So, and suppose namarupam, if you keep on absorbing namarupam inside, right? And if you churn it and again, right? What will happen is, namarupam will take over. This is why in spiritual life, one has to be very as much as possible to be conscious not to allow other things to get inside us. You know, this is a big problem, isn't it? Like, Bhartrihari, he is saying this, that the biggest mistake what human beings have done, they have, especially the poets, and similarly different types of entertainment, what we have created now, for example, cinemas, televisions, all these things, what it does is, it glorifies something to fill its manomandalam, to fill its mind, right? All this entertainment industry, and similarly the kind of media, and sporting activities. All these things are for what? To keep occupied the mind. Mind gets a pleasure from that. Sometimes call it a thrill or some kind of a kick inside. Because this manomandalam, that is where bhakti is required. Bhakti grows there, isn't it? It's in the manomandalam. And if you fill the manomandalam with all the other garbage from the world, bhakti will find it very difficult to take root there in the mind. Yeah. So, therefore, Bhartrihari is saying that you see all these books that's been written about romantic novels and all that. All this has, what he is saying is, you have made a big thing out of it about this thing called romance in this world, right? A man and woman have a relationship, children are born from that. He's saying, look at animals, for example. Animals only habitat together when they need children, and then they will have procreation and they are finished, and they don't glorify or romanticize about this relationship between man and woman, do they? They don't do that. But our poets and our novel writers and all these big writers, what have they done? They have glorified this man-woman relationship to such an extent, and so much novels written about it. People are reading all that. Why do they read it? To fill their mind. In their manomandalam, it's operating all the time. And therefore, it has become the biggest problem to overcome now. That's how we degraded ourselves. Human society degraded themselves by creating all this. It's okay if you want to live a mundane life like that. But it is a negative factor for spiritual life. That's the important thing. If you want to live that life, manomandalam fill with all the garbage and live that life in that way, that's fine. But if you want, he says, what he's saying is, if you fill that manomandalam with all this garbage of the mundane life, like cinema, television, and then all the Facebook, Google, and all everything, all these things, if you fill that inside, it will occupy most of the space. And basically, why do we do that? Because we are finding it difficult to stay quiet. And some engagement mind needs, and immediately we go into all these things, right? So, so bhakti won't come initially when all these things are inside, right? So, some people, they say that it is difficult to chant or to do meditation, right? And sometimes they make a decision of tomorrow onwards, like a New Year resolution. They will start and then 1 or 2 days it's finished, gone. It doesn't work anymore, right? So, it is at that time you realize that how weak we are in life. How weak we are, right? So, and it is at that time you realize that all the garbage what is inside us, one after the other, it starts coming out. So, and you are not aware of that, right? Similarly, people when they go into meditation, they practice meditation, they see, realize that when they sit for meditation, they start seeing how things are coming out from inside, right? So, it is like this churning the milk ocean. Initially, all this garbage will come out. And finally, the nectar comes. In the churning of the milk ocean, the nectar comes at the end, is it not? Right. So, similarly, in bhakti also, bhakti yogam, right? Till all this anarthas has gone from inside. On the one side, we are talking about anartha and removing it. And on the other side, we keep filling the anartha inside. And that makes it difficult, right? So, in Ayurveda, they talk about detoxifying. Detox, everybody talks about it now, isn't it? Yeah. Detoxifying, they say. So, so Krishna is saying like that. And therefore, he says to Arjuna, abhyasam is required for that, yeah? And he said that, there is nothing which cannot be done without abhyasam. That is Krishna's point on that. He says there is nothing that cannot be done without abhyasam. Abhyasam, it is possible to do it, right? And in the 6th chapter, Bhagavad Gita, Krishna said, Arjuna said, isn't it? Chanjalam himana Krishna, pramadi bhalaval dhradam, vayoriva sudushkaram, he said. So difficult to control. And it's like a monkey, he said, all the time running around, right? And normally it is compared, the mind, to a monkey, in the sense that, why it is so? Because monkey, by its very nature, it is always jumping here and there. And then it got drunk, right? And when it got drunk, a scorpion bitten that. So you imagine what has happened, right? And a Buddham has entered into the monkey, right? This is how our mind is, right? Chanjaram hi mana Krishna. Always, if you observe your own mind, you can see it brings one thought. Next moment something else comes. And something else comes. Somebody else says something, or you see something, immediately something else comes. In this way, the mind is all over. So, and pramadi balaval dhradam. That's what Arjuna said, right? And it is very difficult to control mind. It's just like trying to control the wind, right? Krishna didn't say it is easy. He didn't say that. He said, what he said is true, but, and, asamshayam mahabaho, Krishna said. And, so when thing like that, Arjuna says things like this, Krishna will always say, agree with it first, right? Otherwise, Arjuna won't listen to. Because when you say he agrees with it, Arjuna will listen. So first what Krishna, so many times you will see this in the Bhagavad Gita. Whenever Krishna, Arjuna says this is difficult, that's difficult, Krishna will say yes, it is difficult. That's how, that's the psychology behind it. Krishna will first say, I agree with you, he said. It is difficult to control the mind, right? And straight away if you say, no, it is not difficult, you will say that person won't hear anymore, right? So that's what he said. Asamshayam mahabaho mano durnigraham chalam, right? And once when a brahmachari came up to Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and told him that I have a lot of problems with my mind, he said. Mind is not agreeing, right? So you will notice one thing. Mahatmas, they will not tell you anything about the mind. Let's understand why it is so. If you look at great personalities and the devotees who come to them, right? The situation is like this. We have these three bodies. Stulam, Sushvam, Karanam. Right? Out of these three, Stulam is the gross body, Sushvam is the subtle body, basically it's the mind, Karanam is the causal body. Right? Out of these three bodies, Stulam body we know what it's like, and when the pain comes, if it can be cured, it can be cured. If not, you have to accept it in that way. That's a gross body, right? The sushma shariram, which is the mind, mainly the mind, right? Centered around the mind. It's one force, but in that, sometimes it acts as a mind, sometimes acts as the intelligence and ego. Everything is one's energy that comes from the soul, which is a subtle body, which is made of the tanmatras. And in that, the mind is there, right? Whenever you do any karmam, vasana is created. Anything. If you even think about something, there's a vasana goes inside. That vasana will be there, right? And all these vasanas builds up. And later on, it goes into your karana shariram. Karana shariram and sushma shariram is like this. Just like a shopkeeper, he has a shop, right? In the olden days, there were many shops, not like the supermarkets. You remember many years ago, you may have seen them. We were in a childhood, it was like that. In villages, there would be so many shops. And the shopkeepers they didn't have shutters those days. You know what they had? Wooden planks will be there, next to each other, and there will be one lever, they'll put through all that and lock it, and then you'll go home. That's how the shops are. Shutters were not invented at that time. Nowadays they have shutters, isn't it? All these big shops have got shutters. But them days, shutters were not invented. It was all this wooden planks, right? Same size, same width, same height, and it will be stored on the side of the shop. In the evening, say 8-9 o'clock, when the shop is to close, he will put one after the other, one next to each other, and then the whole thing is done. Then he put that lever, will be fitted onto one, he put it and then lock it up. You've seen all that, haven't you? Yeah. Then what he does is, he will go inside the shop on the back door and stay inside, and all the cash he has collected, because nowadays there was no credit card or anything like that. Everything was cash. So there will be 5 rupee notes, 10 rupee notes, 100 rupee notes, coins, 25 pence, paisa, 50 paisa, 1 rupee, all the coins, everything. It will all be mixed up in his cash box. He will separate them all. He will separate them and keep them separately, because for the next day, when transaction begins, if he has to give the change back, otherwise it will all get piled up completely. So he breaks them up and keeps them separately to be ready for the next day. Transaction. Small shopkeepers, this is how they do it. In the same way, how he does that, when we engaging in karmam, when vasanas are created inside, all the vasanas goes into subtle body and gets stored there. It gets transmitted into the causal body, karana shariram, and that it is streaming is done there. It's all streamed there. In the karana sharira, depending on the strength of each vasana, and all those decisions are happening inside the karana sharira, causal body. This is all in the Vedantam text, you will see this spoken very well. When you come back again, we say the child is sleeping 20 hours, baby is born. Basically what's happening is, from Vedantam is saying, all the files have to be transmitted back in the proper order to the subtle body. For that subtle body will guide the gross body what karmam he has to engage in life according to the prarabdham. So, if we look at these two things, causal body is nothing but sushupti, isn't it? Sushupti is the causal body. Karana sharira is the subtle body. Gross body is the material elements. These two are proper ones. Proper bodies are these two. In the sense, we actually, dream is not required for us. Dream is not a necessity for us. What we have got is these two states, awakened state and the sushupti, sleep. That's all we need. And that is creation. Nature's creation is like that. Originally, it is like that. In the realized state, only these two things exist. Dream doesn't exist in the realized state. Which means that by nature's creation, they have given these two states as important. Both are avastha. Avastha means state of existence, right? The middle one, sopnam, which is the one where the mind is dominating, is the one what we have created due to our vasanas. Do you get the point? Because we did a lot of karma and created a lot of vasana, proportionately, this thing called mind has grown big. And this is that one which is bringing that state of dream for us. Sopnam. Jagrat, sopnam, sushupti. That's how three states have come. Strictly speaking, by nature's arrangement, we only have the two states, either jagrat state or sushupti, urakam, or sleep, whatever it is. Call that, right? Those two. Either jagrat or sushupti. This is only two states. But this middle one, which is the sopnam state, is our creation. Because we did so much karma in previous lifetimes, which has come as vasanas, and all vasanas get fructified and develops into action through the gross body later, but that storage is in this dream state, in the sopnam stage, right? So, that sopnam stage can only be controlled if we do not increase the vasana. Vasana has to go away first. But if you keep on adding to it further, sopnam will increase. Sopnam stage will increase. That is why you can see this karana shariram, sushupti. What is karana shariram? After a while, older people, if you look, very old, as you get older, right, you don't need much sleep. You don't need a lot of sleep. Why? Because in an old man or a woman, the sopna shariram has grown big. That is why when he sleeps also, it's all dream only. There is no sleep as such. You don't get sushupti much at the old age. Every old person goes through that. They cannot sleep because you don't need it also. That is how nature's arrangement is like that. An older person doesn't require much sleep. His sleep is basically dream state. You see, he will sleep, but you will see sometimes if you are lived with old people at home, you'll see they won't be sleeping at night. They'll be talking to each other, the older people. At the night, grandfather, grandmother, they'll be talking to each other. And they will be thinking, why can't they sleep like us? You're thinking, because you don't understand the arrangement. Krishna's arrangement is like that. Nature's arrangement. This is why Acharya Swami said, Vriddhastaval Chindasakta. Why did he say that? It is because of this. That he, older person, he is in the mind because all his vasanas, what has created, that is very controlling that his mind. And that mind is active. Therefore, sopnam is active. It is because of that the only thing you can do is, if you minimize your activities in the vacant state, you won't experience much dreams. Whereas if you keep your vacant state very busy, you will have a heavy dream also, very active dream life, dream state, right? So that is how it is. You can't look at it from your job point of view or your karma point of view, all other responsibilities in this world. You have to see yourself as a unit and think about it in an individual level. What nature has created a person, a human being. Nature's creation is like this. Jagrat and Sushupti is normal. It is either you work with the physically, when you get tired you should sleep. That's all. This middle one which has come in the form of dream is purely due to your uncontrolled activities in the vacant state. And if you keep on increasing that, that will come more in the dream. And that is the reason when you go tell Mahatmas about it, they won't say anything about it. They will say there's nothing you can do. You're so busy with your life. And if they tell you also, you can't do anything about it. What they will do is, they'll say to you, if you come and visit them, they'll tell you, have you taken prasadam? They'll ask you first. And if not, please take prasadam and come. And then we can discuss. And if there is something related to self-realization, they will answer. Which is related to karana sharira. Karana sharira is close to the self-realization. Is it not? So matters related to karana sharira, they will answer. Matter related to sthula sharira, they will answer. Matters related to sushma sharira, they won't talk about it. Because sushma sharira, you have created by your activities in several lifetimes. And that is that vasanas that has come is present inside us as sushma sharira. And that has created the dream state. And many people say, my mind is giving me a lot of trouble. That is the complaint always. My mind is causing a lot of problem. I'm very depressed. I got so many problems at home. And it's worrying me, this, that, everything. Spiritually advanced people, they won't listen to this nonsense. They don't accept this. They are saying that you are struggling. Because troubles at home, troubles at work, troubles in anything has nothing to do with your spiritual life. That's the prarabdham it is working. And they are not there to give you a solution for your prarabdham. Prarabdham will go in its own way, right? So you got to realize that, we got to realize in this way that the sushma shariram, if you pump it up with the loads of things into it and then practicing bhakti will not be possible. Won't be possible. Sushma shariram, you have to guard against all these things, not to get affected by the external things as much as possible. So this is the problem. Actually, in bhakti yogam, this bhavana mandalam, where you have jnani's case is different, because jnani's don't have vairagyam is strong in them. Therefore, they have written off this world practically, and that is why they go to Himalayas and places like that. And away from this crowd. Whereas Bhakti Yogam is practiced in the middle of all the other people. In the middle you have to still go along with Bhakti. You are doing it with so many other people together. They will have their effect on you. You will have your effect on them. All these things comes into. Right? So I'll break for a few minutes and then we'll continue after that. Chedo darpanam arjanam gomaha dhavakri nurvapanam ശ്രേയക്കൈതവചന്ദ്രികാവിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുധിവർദ്ധനം ത്രിപദപൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസുഭനം പരം വിജയദേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാം നാമകാരി ബഹുദാ നിജ സർവശക്തി ത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാലാ ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാഭി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനി നാനുരാഗാഹം തൃണാരഭീഷുണീചേനാം തൃണോരഭീ സഹിഷ്ണുനാം മമാനിനാമാനദേനാം നീയസദാഹരി ധനം ന ധനം ന ചുന്നേ കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശകാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരീ ഭവദാൽ ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി ಅಯೀನಂದತನೂಜ ಕಿಂಕರಂ ಪತಿತಾಮಂ ಶ್ರಮೇ ಭವಾಂಬುದೌ ಕೃಪಯಾ ತವ ಪಾದ ಪಂಕಜ ಇದೂಳಿ ಸದೃಶಂ ವಿಚಿಂತಯಾ ನಯನಂ ಗಲದಶ್ರುಧಾರಯಾ ವದನಂ ಗದ್ಗದರುದ್ಧಯಾ ಗಿರಾ ಪುಳಕೈರ್ನಿಚಿದಂ ಗದಾವಭೂ ತವ ನಾಮಗ್ರಹಣೇ ಭವಿಷ್ಯತಿ ಯುಗಾಯಿದಂ ನಿಮೇಷೇಣ ಚಕ್ಷುಷಾ ಪ್ರಾವಿಶಾಯಿದಂ ಶೂನ್ಯಾಯಿದಂ ಜಗತ್ ಸರ್ವಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ವಿರಹೇಣ ಮೇ ಆಶ್ಲಿಷ್ಯ ವಾ ಪಾದರದಾಂ ವಿನಷ್ಟು ಮಾಂ ಅದರ್ಶನಾಂ ಮರ್ಮಹದಾಂ ಕರೋತು ವಾ ಯಥಾ ತಥಾ ವಾ ವಿದಧಾ ವಿಲಂಬಣೋ ಮಲ್ಪ್ರಾಣನಾಥಾಸ್ತು ನಯೇವ ನಾಪರ ಸರ್ವತ್ರ ಗೋವಿಂದ ನಾಮ ಸಂಕೀರ್ತನಂ ಗೋವಿಂದ ಗೋವಿಂದ So, Mahatmas, whether it was Ramana Maharshi or Ramakrishna Paramahamsa and all great personalities, if you ask them anything related to Sushma Shariram, they won't answer. They will avoid that question. They won't entertain that. Anything, they will look after your gross body, they will tell you whatever you can, whatever is necessary. Similarly, matters related to adhyatmam, in other words, about self-realization, about involving sadhana and things like that, they will answer. But matters related to the subtle body, they won't discuss with you. It is always, you can observe that in Paramahamsa's life, in Ramana Maharshi's case, and many other, Swami Ramdas and Kanyangad, they were all like this. This is their way of talking about these things, right? So, for example, our Paramahamsa, Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, when he was in Dakshineshwar temple, he used to talk to them. In them days, things are not like today. You'll sit under a tree and you'll talk to the students. Brahmachari is there. And ultimately, Vivekananda writes a letter about this. He says there, this position of guru and sannyasi and swami, acharya and all these things is not very conducive sometimes in order to freely communicate with people, right, when you start taking positions like that. And he said, I'm not Acharya, I'm not a guru, he said. Vivekananda said this, right? And there's nothing I need from this world. This is all false anyway, said. So, he was like that. That is how their relationship was between Vivekananda and Ramakrishna Paramahamsa, was like that. It's not like a guru, a disciple, you know, everything very officially, very, built fencing around, right? So he's saying he's the one who is going to take me out of this material life, one who can save me. That's how he is seeing the Paramahamsa in that way, right? So mind, as Krishna was saying, that Arjuna was saying that mind is very flickering nature of the mind, right? And they will say this, the disciples used to say this to Paramahamsa, finding it difficult to control the mind, right? So, one day what Paramahamsa did was, he took a disciple and took him to a shop and got a nice sweet and put it into his mouth. And he told him that, don't worry about all mind, he said. My mind is also like that, he said. So they understand the mind is such a thing. It's not easy to bring it under control, right? And so you may wonder, he is a realized soul, and then he is saying like this because that's the only way you can make people aware that the nature of the mind is like this, right? So One mother came to see him. Her son died and daughter was married. then the daughter's husband died, right? So the mother came telling all her miseries to him, to Paramahamsa, that this has all happened in family and, you know, the suffering that what she was going through, right? So naturally, to show some compassion, Paramahamsa also cried with her, shed some tears, right? Then she felt a relief when Paramahamsa was also showing so much compassion, right? But that kind of identity to show with people is bhakti. To show to someone that I'm feeling the same about this incident, right? Becoming, feeling oneness like that. So that is karunyam, compassion for others. But on the other hand, they also know that this whole thing is maya. And this person is crying about something which is not worth crying. If you look at it from the Bhagavad Gita's point of view, ashochyan anyashojastam, prajnavadamsha bhashase, gadasu nagadasumsha, nani shojandi pandita. Even though they are realized souls, they know what the reality is. Reality is, if you worry about people who are dead and gone, or if you are worrying about people who are living, then you are not a pandita. That is Bhagavad Gita is saying that. Gadasu nagadasumsha. Nani shojandi pandita. Shojana means to lament about them. If you are lamenting about people who are living in this world now, or people who have left this world, either of those things, if you do that, that means you are in tamogunam. Lamentation means tamogunam. Tamogunam means you are lamenting. Lamentation is the effect of tamogunam in a person, right? So you don't lament about them. That is panditam. Knowledge means that. Spiritual knowledge means that. Yeah. Similarly, things what has happened in the past, if you lament about them, or things what's happening now in the world, or what's going to happen, worrying about it, both these things, lamenting about them is considered to be ignorance. Tamogunam it is. Right? That verse, Gadasu Nagadasumscha Nani Shochandi Panditaha. Krishna says, Pandita doesn't lament. And that's why he told Arjuna, you are not a Pandita. You are just a coward, that you are crying about all these things. Right? But then Mahalpas, when they find that people are in this state, in order to show some compassion, they will cry. But it is not genuine cry. They will show compassion to them in this way. To pacify them for the moment. Because otherwise they won't listen. If you say anything to them, they'll say, oh, you don't know my situation. They'll start again. So, in order to keep them, if you show some empathy or compassion to them, for some time they will calm down. And then you can say something to them. Otherwise, what will you say? They won't listen to anything. Right? So, Ramayanam came 24,000 verses out of karunyam, isn't it? When the arrow was shot by the hunter, and what happened, right? He felt that karunyam inside, and that famous verse has come out from that. From that one verse, Ramayanam came out, 24,000 verses, right? So karunyam or compassion, rasam, is there, and while practicing all these things, abhyasam, right? It may be difficult to do everything for Krishna, to offer everything to Krishna all the time, what we are doing, because that state of mind is not there in us. So even though it is spoken like this, that abhyasena cha kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate and all that, right? So Krishna is saying, doesn't matter, don't worry about that, he said. Abhyasena cha kaunteya vairagyena cha grihyate, right? If you practice vairagyam, if you develop, abhyasam can happen later, right? It is same, Krishna has taken that from Patanjali. Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Right? You can see when you said, look at Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is coming with certain things, right? Kathopanishad, Krishna has mastered that. That's why that the second chapter is full of Kathopanishad verses coming in, right? So, so he is saying that Abhyasam Vairagyan Tan Nirodha. Say the same thing Patanjali says. Abhyasam Vairagya Tan Nirodha. So, if the mind is flickering like this, right? the only way what one can do about that is, he says, practice it in a way that to do it in practice is kripa, Krishna's kripa, right? And that shakti, strength inside to practice is Krishna's kripa. If Krishna gives you that mercy, kripa, you get the strength to do practice it on a regular basis, right? And so that power to practice abhyasam is kripa, Krishna's mercy, right? And Krishna's instructions, practice it, that's kripa. And similarly, that shraddha in us means able to do it steadfast, that's kripa, right? So Krishna says to Arjuna that instead of scrutinizing it too much, these things, right? If you want power for abhyasam, in order to do that power, cultivate vairagyam first, he says. Vairagyam will help for abhyasam. That is how it is, right? In other words, in order to, vairagyam means what? Develop, ragam in other things, break it away, break it up, take it up. Take it away from, raga means attachment to other things, right? So, anything that is not related to spiritual life, anything that's not related to spiritual life, right? Maintaining a udasina bhava. Udasina bhava means a casual attitude towards everything else. Maintaining seriousness in adhyatmam, spiritual life, right? Everywhere if there is ragam or dvesham comes, then you will get stuck in that. So, dharmam you execute in a udasina bhava, in a very relaxed way. You perform your dharmam in this world, right? So, understand this, that in this world while living, it is for vyavaharam purposes where dharmam comes in. Most of the dharmam one has to follow in the vyavaharam side, right? There the attitude is, I have done what I can and that's all, and you have to leave it at that, right? And whatever that comes from that, that's fine with me. An approach like that. I have done based on my dharmam, right? Finish with that. Yavadartham vivaharet gehe dehe pandidaha. Bhagavadam is saying this, right? So, what is required, Bhagavadam says, that to that extent you do maintaining the body or maintaining the home and in the field where your vivaharam is going on. You must do only that much, right? And not to develop any sangam or expecting that something big is going to come from that and not worry about whatever comes out at the end. That way the relationship should be, if we have to execute bhakti. These are things related to this, right? So, what will happen as the end result, all these things you shouldn't scrutinize too much. And that is vairagyam. Dharmam itself is vairagyam, right? That means mind does not go into other things too much. If you let the mind get involved in anything and everything, in a much deeper level, bhakti is difficult. It's not possible to develop bhakti in that way, right? So, so look at our own mind and see the nature of the mind, where it is taking interest, in which field, and able to little by little withdraw the mind from such things. And Krishna is saying that here. So, whatever that is possible, one should try in that area, right? Then Krishna is saying, that is what that boy said. Sabhyasena tu Kaunteya, Vairagyana Jagrahyade. Abhyasam and Vairagyam, Krishna has connected them together. Then he said, if it is not possible, do something special, he said. That's also not possible. So, just like he said, something in the Karmakandam, especially as a sacrifice, an aradhana or puja. Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi. He concluded that if that is also not possible, he said, you give the results. So, in a different levels he spoke first, is it not? In different levels he spoke. So, when you read that verse, the last one, Madartham abhi karmani kurvan siddhim avapsesi, then he said, sacrifice all the results. You may get the impression that is the last option left, right? It is not exactly like that. What he is saying is that at the moment we are doing with desire for results, phalecha, with the results, right? And everything is done with desires, right? And so, like in the, you know, among the Jains, they have two different groups in them. The one is called the Digambaras and the other one the Shvetambaras, the two different sects among them. Digambaras are who don't wear any clothes, and the other one, they wear the white cloth, is it not, right? So, there is a story related to that. Yeah, they were business people and textiles business. They were doing that, and most of them are business people generally, right? And they live comfortably, big house and all comforts, everything, right? And they have position in the society. One of those businessmen, one who has, everyday people come to see him, and he lives very well, plenty of wealth, and he gives a lot of help to other community activities, right? So, Shastram says that if you have a lot of wealth comes to you in life, you should do a lot of charity. That's a way to dispose it of. They give the example that when you are traveling in the boat, there's a hole in the boat, the water enters into the boat. So the boatman, what he does is, constantly he takes the water and throw it away from the boat, so that it doesn't sink. Similarly, in life also, when there's a lot of wealth comes, you should keep on emptying it. Otherwise, if you keep on accumulating it, it would cause problems, right? And that is what, if there is wealth, it should be given in charity. Some people, they don't enjoy themselves, they don't give in charity, and that is condemned very much, right? So, this person lived a life comfortable, and he has given a lot of in charity as well. And he used to eat in a golden bowl, because he was so wealthy. In golden bowl he used to have, right? And sometimes people observe this, that he is so much opulent he is. Everything was, his dishes were served in a golden bowl, right? So it was in a village, right? And one young man came from another village into this village where he was living, right? And this person, he used to have a festival there at his house every year. He will invite all the people and feed everybody. Plenty of food. That was, in them days it was like that. That is gone now, that nature has gone. Nowadays it is a totally different way it's done. In a 5-star hotel, you book people from all over the world, you invite, you bring food from all over the world, and it is served by, your own, all well dressed properly and all that. And people are invited with a special invitation, and all these big sannyasis and businessmen and politicians, they will all be there. It's a totally different, but it was not like that before. The very rich people, what they used to do, now and then they will have some occasion at home whereby they will invite the whole village people to come. Everybody is invited. People won't come from very far places, unlike today. Today, they come from LA and from Sydney for a program in Bombay, right? It's a totally madness, it's the whole thing. And all with business interest, they're doing these things nowadays. But in them days, it wasn't like that. Very rich people, especially business people, who are very wealthy, they know they have made wealth, but they will honor the general public like this, invite everybody, and some festival they'll have, and they'll arrange a big feast for everybody. The kings used to do the same thing, the small kings. They used to do the same thing. So that has changed now, right? So such instances, the village people celebrates well. It's a good opportunity for them to get together and to enjoy big feast, all paid by the businessman, whoever it is doing that, right? And it is an opportunity for enjoying those festivals, because there is bhakti in the heart, in the sense that it creates an environment like that, a relationship like that between people. In these things you don't see that in the modern things, right? So after everyone is served, this person will have his meal, who the big businessman who had the wealth. And he'll be served in this golden plate with all the things, everything, right? And some people used to observe that, watch that. So this young man wanted to see that. Somebody is eating in a golden plate. He hasn't seen that before. Somebody is having a meal in a golden, pots and everything, right? So what he did was, when he was being served, he sits in a room and has being served to him. So what he did, he climbed onto a tree to look at it, how he is eating, enjoying the golden dishes in the golden plate, right? So suddenly at that time somebody opened the window and they saw him sitting on the top of the tree, right? So they brought him down and asked him, what are you looking at from sitting there on the tree? Brought him down, right? He said, no, I just wanted to see this cutlery in the gold. I have not seen that in my life. I got my desire to eat in that one day, he said. It may not happen, he said. But when he heard this, he had desire came to him in that way, right? So everybody is watching this. This whole village people are noticing all these things, what happened, right? And you know, a lot of things were prepared for the feast. And everything was served very special for the person, right? So, and it took a long time, the serving, the eating, and washing up, and everything, right? And he was thinking, he heard about this, the way he eats is like this. And he says to everybody, I never thought that it is such an extravagant thing, eating in these golden plates and dishes prepared so carefully and so many special dishes. I have never had that in my life, he said. So when he fell down from the tree, after seeing all these things, he fell down and he became unconscious. And then they sprinkled water on his face and he came back into consciousness after that, right? So he says to the people, I want to meet him, this owner, right? So they went and told him that a person has come from another village. He has seen you eating, and he was sitting on the tree and watching this, and he fell down, then he lost consciousness. We have sprinkled water on his face, and he has now become conscious, but he says he wants to see you. So he said, oh, come, let him bring him in, he said. So brought him in, right? And he says to, then asked him, so what do you want, he said. He says, at least once in my lifetime, once, I want to eat like the way you have eaten, he said. That's all I want, nothing else, he said. Because he just couldn't, he had so much affected by that, right? So that's only one of my desires, he says, I have no other desire, and I'll do anything you want me to do for that, he says to him, right? So businessman says to him, that you know how much it costs, all these things. It costs a lot of money, right? And if you have to pay for it, if you want to have it, at least for a year you have to work in my house for that. He was a businessman, so he said like that to him, right? And he calculated that if for a whole year if he works, we can give him a meal in that way, right? So he agreed for that. He wanted to have this one meal. Willing to work for a whole year for that, right? So, and he did that, right? He will do all the menial jobs, what he was told, cleaning the house, washing the pots, you know, all such things, right? And after a year, he said, he worked day and night, as he was told, right? Ultimately, he said, his day has come for the meal, right? And that day also, there was a festival was arranged for his meal to be given to him, right? And all the villagers, people, they were making it very interesting, making it as a festival with the drums playing, and they put a marquee-like thing, everything, right? They all waited to see how the businessman is going to make this offer to him, right? And he arranged everything for him to eat. Everything was served, right? And after he had eaten, at that time, a bhikshu came, and he showed his pot from outside, asking for some food, right? So this person who was having this meal, he observed this bhikshu who had come and was asking for some food. So he had some gold coin with him, who this person was having. He gave that to him, this person, right? So bhikshu says, I'm hungry. I'm very hungry, he said, right? So everybody is looking. At that time, he looked at the bhikshu and he looked at the food, what was being served for him, right? When bhikshu asked for the food, he has forgotten everything. He took out all the food what he had and gave it to him, to the bhikshu who had come, right? So what you can see from that is that when he served everything to the bhikshu, right, when at that moment flowers were sprinkled on that man from the sky by the devadas, Annadevada has sprinkled the flowers from the top, right? You will see a similar story in Bhagavadam, Randhideva's story. If you read in Bhagavadam, you'll find Randhideva's story. Similar, right? What is the reason for that? For a year he wanted this meal. He worked for that. And ultimately he got it. But when the result was to be enjoyed, right, he decided to sacrifice it. Just like Rantideva did. Rantideva's story is very important in the Bhagavatam, right? So, that is what Krishna is saying here. When you work hard, earn wealth like that, can you give it up? Are you capable of doing that? Sarva karma bhalatyagam. He's saying there, isn't it? Sarva karma bhalatyagam. Tadakkuriyata atmavan. He says you become atmavan then, if you do that, right? And work hard, acquired the wealth, and at the end, gave it away, everything, right? So, this is just a story to tell us that in some people, if the bhakti is there, this is a symptom of bhakti in a person. If the bhakti is there, the vairagyam will also be there. If the bhakti is there, vairagyam will be there. If bhakti is not there, vairagyam won't be there. Everything has to be pressurized, right? So, in Adhyatma Logam, in spiritual field also, you will see this among Laugiyam, materialistic nature, people also, you'll find these qualities in them sometimes, right? So, in Adhyatma Logam, many problems comes because when you go asking for donations, yes, from people, when you ask for donations, it actually bring down the noble qualities in a person. In the sense that the materialistic minded people, they have worked hard to earn the wealth, right? And sometimes you see they give up everything and walk away from that, right? For a higher purpose, right? And they get rid of the wealth as much as possible. You can see that among the very wealthy people, right? So, when they were working, they were doing everything with the desire for results. While they were working, they were doing business or whatever position they were doing, whatever they were doing, while working at that time, they were doing it with the desire for results, right? Not karma yogam. It was not karma yogam. They have done with full attachment for the desire for ourselves, right? So, keeping their selfishness in that, they executed their karma, and all that they have acquired like that, in one moment they are giving it up. Everything, right? What was the reason? And Krishna said that, yad atmavan. Atmavan, right? So, this happens rarely, control of mind, control of senses, right? Such a person, he will think, where did all this wealth come from, first of all, right? It can be happened due to some satsangam. He may have got it from somewhere, and the power of that. And who gave that mercy, compassion to him? That is Krishna's arrangement. That thought to come into his mind in that way. Suddenly to give up everything and withdraw from that field, right? So, you may ask the question that Bhikshu who came, they could have given him some food and sent him away, right? Bhikshu has got hungry and he wanted meal, and they would have eaten that and left, right? Heart is concerned, logic doesn't apply, how the heart works, right? When somebody asks for something, you give it to them, depending upon his need, that is based on a logic. But when the heart operates, it does not operate on logic basis, right? So, there what happened was, that he did not think much about himself, he was more concerned about that person's desire, need, and he was acting on that understanding that his compassion inside for him came about, right? So, and it is that karunyam in a person or compassion in a person, or that empathy what you feel inside, that is what that word is referring to. Yes, Atmavan, he says. See the word Atmavan? Yeah. What does that mean? He is saying, Athaidada Pashaktosi Kartumad Yogamashrida Sarvakarma Bharatyagam Tata Kuru Yad Atmavan. He is Atmavan, he says. Atmavan means that Sarvakarma Bharatyagam Yad Atmavan Samyada Chitta San Ityartaha. Right? Able to control the mind and able to make that sacrifice at that moment. Because whole life he has acquired wealth with a selfishness, with a desire, a greed or whatever you call, you can acquire the wealth in that way. But at this moment in time, if he does this, sarvakarma phalatyagam tadakuru yadatmavan, he said, right? So, you will see this even in a regular life, right? You're traveling in a bus, right? And sometimes old people or pregnant women, they come in. And in India, nobody will give you any seat. Here, if you don't give it, it is considered to be bad, right? So it is rarely you will get there. It is ruthless. Totally merciless it is, right? So people will keep coming and you will start thinking they'll turn your head the other way. Don't look at them. Only then. So, old person comes and you don't give them any recognition, their age or anything, right? So, if you don't give the seat to someone who really needed it, right? And if you sat there, when you leave the bus and go, it will give you a problem inside. The mind will feel bad about it, right? So then you will try to console yourself. I'm going to get down in the next stop. After that, he can take it. That way, some consolation. You console yourself, right? And especially when you are getting out of the bus, the old man is still standing there, or the pregnant woman is standing there. It will definitely create an impression inside your mind, right? And you may not be able, if you have conscience, you will find it difficult to sleep at night for behaving in that way, right? So, if you, on the other hand, if you had given the seat to the pregnant lady or to the old person, right, he will look at you with gratitude, and Krishna says, that's me who is looking at it through him, through that person, right? And that is bhakti. These are the things to understand about bhakti. Bhakti is like this in life. At different levels, how bhakti works in a person. Now, for this bhakti, it's not dependent on whether you're initiated or not initiated or anything. Bhakti is a bhavam inside that comes after Krishna's kripa, that is, bhakti develops in a heart, right? It's a simple thing, this bus journey, but the principle involved in that, right? Now, in between us and doing that, right, what is stopping us doing that is the ahangaram inside, abhimanam, bodily identification, right? So, tyagam or sacrifice, or us, our ahangaram, is the one that is stopping us from us doing the tyaga, right? And this abhimanam, that pride, ego, is favorable in the world outside. But for sacrificing things, it is not favorable. It's not favorable, right? Because in the world, you see, people with a lot of ego, they push forward with their, they have so much confidence in themselves, what they are doing and what they are saying. So they'll push forward in that way. So it is favorable for success in the material world. But for your spiritual advancement, it is not favorable. It's not favorable, right? So when you perform sacrifice, right, abhimanam or ahangaram will block it, right? And even when a problem comes, you have to tolerate that from there. So, Tyagam, right? So, in order to do that, Tyagam, right? What do we require? You require knowledge for that. The strength of the knowledge. To sacrifice like that, you require the strength of the knowledge. And that is the next verse, what Krishna is talking about. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal. Jnanal dhyanam vishishyade. Dhyanal karma phalatyagam. Tyaga shandir anandaram, he says. Yeah. So, what does this mean? He's saying that it is a very difficult verse, this particular verse, right? If you read it, you will get one understanding. But if you read the commentary, you get a different understanding. Normally, if you have some Sanskrit knowledge, and if you read this verse, it is direct meaning if you take it. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyaga chandiranandaram, he says. Jnanam is better than abhyasam, dhyanam is better than jnanam, and better than dhyanam is karma phalatyagam, and tyagam gradually leads into moksha. That is how direct meaning if you take it. But if you read that verse, it doesn't look right. It cannot be that way. Because you see here, it's saying here, jnanam is better than abhyasam. And dhyanam is better than jnanam. And karma phalatyagam is better than dhyanam. So what that means is, karma phalatyagam has been put on the highest pedestal, highest level. Keeping jnanam, dhyanam, other things, everything lower level. That can't be right, is it? That's not how it is. Or anyone who knows Bhagavad Gita Bhagavadam. So the verse itself is very very special, this particular verse, right? Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, jnanal karma phalatyagam, tyaga shandiranandaram. He's saying, if you look at the Ajari Swami's commentary on that, he says, Shreyohi prashasyataram jnanam kasmad, avivega purvagat, abhyasa tasmat, abhijnana, jnana purvagam dhyanam vishishyade, he says. So, the first line itself is, Ajari Swami says, Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal means, he is saying that, jnanal jnana purvagam dhyanam vishishyade. That means, if you are doing dhyanam, if it is with jnanam, it is Vishishyade. Without jnanam, dhyanam is not Vishishyade, not good. That's a way to understand that. It's a difficult verse for ordinary people. Like us, when you read it, you will immediately, anyone will think in this verse. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam Vishishyade. Jnanam is better than abhyasam, dhyanam is better than jnanam. That is not how you understand that verse. He's saying that jnanavado dhyanadabhi karmabalatyago vishishade idi anushajyade. That means, doing abhyasam, practicing it, without any knowledge, right? Better than that is jnanam. Doing things without any knowledge, but practicing it, right? Better than that, that means there is no knowledge involved. Without any knowledge, you are doing things, right? Not any knowledge behind it, just doing things. Better than that is having knowledge, right? So, he's saying here that the So, jnanam, dhyanam, tyagam. Three things, right? These three things, Krishna has not used them in this verse like the way it is used elsewhere. These three words. Jnanam, dhyanam, tyagam. Right? So, he says, better than abhyasam is jnanam. Better than abhyasam is jnanam. Better than jnanam is dhyanam. In other words, what he means is, better than jnanam is doing dhyanam with jnanam. That's the way to understand that. Just having jnanam is good, right? But dhyanam with jnanam is better. That's how it what he is trying to say there, right? That means that dhyanam with jnanam is good than jnanam on its own. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal jnanal dhyanam visheshyate. Dhyanam with jnanam is better. Right? Then Krishna says, karma bhalatyagam is good, shreshtam. And if you do that karma bhalatyagam, shanti will come after that, he said. These are all general meaning of that, right? So, all Krishna has spoken till now, in this verse, Krishna has put into confusion everybody. You will get confused with this verse. If you look back, all along Krishna said about karmam, 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 in different levels. And now, Krishna is saying here, in this verse, right, better than abhyasam is jnanam. When Krishna says abhyasam, what does he mean by that? All these things, what he has spoken till now, is karma yogam, isn't it? Karma yogam is all the verses before, right? So, in the name of bhakti, what Krishna has spoken in this chapter till now is karma yogam. All the verses, if you look, all this right up to 11, verse 11, everything is talking about karma, is it not? Yedu sarvani karmani, sixth verse. Then he said, mayyamanadhal swamai buddhiniveshaya, abhyasa yogam. And then abhyasam is not possible, he says, madartham api karmani, kurvan siddhim avapsasi, then sarva karma bhalatyagam. So everything is karma yogam related topics he has spoken, right? So, in other words, prior to coming to bhakti, this karmam requires to be streamlined properly. Otherwise, proper bhakti won't come. You see, bhakti is not so easily available like that. So, Krishna called bhakti combined with karma. With karma, right? That means, when you can turn your karmam into a yogam, that samskaram, Krishna calls it as bhakti. You can think about all these things when you get time. If you look at these verses and the way the verses have been spoken, and finally with these words, what you have to remember this is that Krishna has spoken things in such a way that he spoke about karmam a lot as introduction to bhakti. And then how that karmam can become bhakti. That samskaram of turning karmam into bhakti, right? And that samskaram Krishna calls it as bhakti, right? So here Krishna is saying abhyasam. And what is he saying about? That means, without any knowledge, without any, remember, anusandhanam of Krishna, without any anusandhanam, right? Simply doing karma, right? And whether it is good or bad, whatever it may be, suppose it is done without any expectation of results, phalecha, without any desire for results. That is what Bhagavatam is also saying. Naishkarmam abhi achyuda bhava varjitam na shobhade jnanamalam niranjanam kutapvana shashat abhadram ishvare na harpidam karma yadapya anuttamam. Twice it's spoken in the Bhagavatam, first canto and in the 12th canto, right? So Narada Maharshi said there to Vedavyas that if karmam what is done, even if you have done without expectation of results, right, even though it has done without expectation of results, if it is not offered to Krishna, then that means without that bhavam inside, or anusandhanam is not there, even if you have done it without expectation of results, the karmam shashvat abhadram, he said. It is not safe. It's not safe, right? So, what we have to understand is, from the viewpoint of Shastram, karmam is not a good thing. You know, karmam is not a good thing. That's the first thing we have to learn from the Shastram. Karmam is not a good thing, right? When you hear that, you may think it's very strange. A Shastram telling us not to engage in karmam, right? Because from Shastram point of view, if you look at it, Shastram sees only one thing. What is that? Karmam creates vasana. Vasana creates different... avidya is pushes karmam. That Kudidevi statement. Avidya pushes karmam. Karmam creates karma vasana. Karma vasana creates bondage. That is how Shastram sees karmam. Shastram is not concerned about your economic development and your material happiness and GDP and all that. Shastram looks at it this way. If you do karmam, you got to have the price for it. So, karmam is already in us. We all come with vasana. It's already inside us. So, in order to free ourselves from this disease called karmam, what's the remedy? That's what Shastram will tell us. So, you have to look at these verses with this understanding. Naishkarmam abhi achyuta bhava varjitam. Somehow or the other, you have done karmam. Karmam has come because vasana is there. And rishis know this very well, that there is no other way. You see, rishis are not looking like in life like the way we are looking at it. We are looking at it in terms of nation. Country has to develop economy-wise. Country has to compete with other countries. And if we don't look after ourselves, what will happen to the country and to the people? Politicians, leaders have to think like that. They think like that, is it not? Whether it is Trump, whether it's Modi, whether it's Starmer, whoever it is, they will all look at it from their side, national interest. That's what is in their mind. But that is not spiritual interest. Adhyalpam, you can't bring that into it. In Adhyalpam, what they see is karmam is your binding you. And karmam has caused because of avidya. And avidya has come because we have increased it by vasana, by engaging in karma. And that means our subtle body has grown so big that vasana is so strong inside. So spiritual, in order to realize the truth, realize the self, you have to become free from karma. Karma vasana has to go completely from inside. That's called naishkarma siddhi. Krishna mentions that in the 18th chapter. Naishkarma siddhi. Sannyasam is called as naishkarma siddhi. So, therefore, Sri Narada Maharshi said like that to Veduvyasa Maharshi, that achyuta bhava varjitam, if there is no bhakti in there, that karmam also will create trouble. Shashvat avadram ishware. So, any karmam in this world, which will only give you good benefit, good results, no karmam has been invented so far in this world. Every karmam has its own bad effect also. Some bad effect will come from that, right? And at the same time, it is difficult not to do karmam also. To completely withdraw from karmam is also difficult, right? So, therefore, what do we do with the karmam then, when it is like this? On the one hand, you cannot give up karmam. It is there in us, inside, in the form of vasana. It is inside us. On the other hand, every karmam will bring some problem at the end. Something which is not good will come from the karma, right? So, that is why they say that offer the karmam to Krishna, arpanam. That's why arpanam comes, right? And Ishvara inside us as Antaryami, and unless you accept him inside that, that Antaryami's presence inside, and with accepting him, then karmam, which is jadam, karmam is jadam, isn't it? And without expectation of results, recognizing the Antaryami, offer it to that Antaryami is doing the karma. In that way, one should go ahead with the karma. But that means, whatever karma that comes through this body, mind, and senses, whatever karma, one has to be so conscious that Antaryami is doing that. Antaryami is doing that, right? So, if it is any karma done, even if it is done as a social service or whatever it is, Srinatha Maharshi is saying it is abhadram. Kudappana shashyat abhadram ishware. So, none of that will help, in other words. None of that will help, right? So, from the Rishi's point of view, what they are trying to tell us is that they are focused on how can a jiva come out from this bondage. That is in their mind. They are not looking at it like the way we are looking at karma. How do we look at karma? Because all this economic development, what's going on, what is the motive behind it? To strengthen the nation, isn't it? To make the nation strong. That's the motive behind it. The nation has a lot of wealth so that you can fight with other nations, win over others, control others, and things like that. That's the motive behind it. This economic development motive is that. Although they may say that, oh, we have to live in prosperity, we have to get rid of poverty and all that. Their understanding is different. You can't bring those into spiritual life. Rishis are looking at it from a different angle altogether. Rishis are saying to us, material life is suffering. Material life is suffering, right? And once you want to escape from here, you can't be too bothered about the national success, international benefits and things like that. You have to wipe that out from your diary, all those things. Priorities have gone, changed completely. You want to escape from this material world itself, material success itself, right? So, jiva won't become free unless you become free from this karma. Free from this karma, right? The reason is this. In karma, there is abhimanam. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer, right? And the result is there. And I am doing this. And if we have not come out of this field, coming back into the spiritual plane is difficult. So, that is the practice what Krishna is talking about, abhyasam. Becoming free from the impact of karma inside us. It is for that purpose it is spoken, all these things, right? And he says, just for example, in communist countries, right, what they have done, they say everything belongs to the state, isn't it? That's at least in principle. Nowadays, that's also gone completely. Everything they say belongs to the state. Nothing belongs to you. So that unlike in a capitalistic society, in communist society, you are supposed to do certain work, and the state will maintain you. State is the god there, in that understanding, right? So there they make the karmam as an obligation for the citizens towards the state, and the state maintains you. In the capitalistic society, they say they are creating the wealth and they exploit the people, and somebody becomes wealthy and they say they are maintaining them. So if you look at this way, the different national arrangements, communism or capitalism or socialism or this, whatever it is, right? And those things should not be taken into account when you read Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is above all these things, you see. That is why to come to a spiritual platform itself is very difficult. in our present state, the way we are now. We want to look after our country, we want to look after our family, we want to look after our society, and we also want spiritual self-realization. That's where it becomes very difficult. When you got to forget about all the other things, because they are not important anymore. And that is why Krishna is saying that that decision what you make inside is so important. Vyavasaya Buddhi means freedom from all these things. Unless otherwise it's not going to happen, right? So so here, like you can see in this world, for China was for some time no entity at all in this world. Over the last 40, 50 years, they became developed economy-wise as a nation, and then they want to control the others, they want to dominate others. Just the same thing what Americans are doing, they want to do it now. And if tomorrow if it happens to India, India will do the same thing. It's not going to be different. Any country on a national level, if you build up all these values based on, because there is no culture behind it, you see. And they will, and this can happen to any country. British were doing that once. Americans are doing now. And China is trying to do it now. So this way, this dominating nature will come, right? So the result is, there is no shanti in anywhere. Whether the British ruled, Americans ruled, Chinese ruled, there is no shanti in people's life. So spiritual solution is permanent solution we are looking for. Freedom from this birth and death. That's the only real solution for this problem, right? So the measurement, how you measure these things, you got to take into account several factors like this. That is why Sri Narada Maharshi told Vedavyas, Achyuta Bhava Varjitam Na Shobhade, he said. Naishkarmyam is good, but Achyuta Bhava Varjitam Na Shobhade, he said. Achyuta Bhava means self-realization, in other words, spiritual life. If it is not spiritually vibrant, that karmam, even if you have done, this is the problem with all these big men. They make a lot of money, exploit others, and through somehow their prarabdham is to have a lot of wealth, right? And they don't know what to do with it. And then they are looking for outlets, how to channel these funds. Huge amounts of money. I'm talking about the John Bezos and Bill Gates and Anil Agarwals and all that. Yeah, so much wealth they have. And what do you do with this? And they know they will die. And with that it's all over. So at least sense tells them that something has to be done with this wealth. So, you can imagine, they are also crying what to do with it. They are thinking about it. What do I do with the money? And that's their suffering. They are also meant to suffer in a different way. People who don't have, probably some of them, they are more happy than these people who have got a lot with that. Right? So, and you can see that, people say that, and the wealthy countries, people are all happy. But actually, Somalia is more happy than America is. If you look at it at another level, they are just happy with what little they got and living a life. They don't have an anxiety what they have to deal with, they dispose with all the wealth, things like that, right? So the measuring method is different of happiness in different people, right? So in order to measure that happiness what actually comes from inside, karma alone cannot be the measuring instrument. Karma, right? Therefore, Krishna is saying that this karma is a problem. Develop that into a karma yoga, and that message is first itself is a big relief for someone who is struggling with karma. That there is an outlet called karma yoga to become free from that, right? So, so what Krishna says is, simply doing karma is better than that if you can make it as a karma yoga rather than simply doing karma, right? And that by doing that, you are at least somewhat linked to the infinite, to Brahma, through karma yoga. But if you are not doing karma yoga, simply did karma all the time, that means you are simply bound in that. There is no, from spiritual angle I'm saying, from spiritual side, you are simply bound in that. Becoming free from that will be more difficult. So therefore, he said all these things to make it as a karma yogam, right? And so he is saying that it is better to do it that way than simply doing karma. Simply doing karma, if you can do it as a karma yoga. So, when he says, Shreyohi Jnanam, he says, right? Shreyohi Jnanam, what is that Jnanam he is talking about? This Jnanam about karma yoga. That's what, because all till now he has spoken about karma yoga. When he is saying Jnanam now, it is not, he is not talking about Jnana Yogam. He is talking about Jnanam related to Karma Yoga. That Jnanam inside, how to do that, right? So, so Jnanam alone is not sufficient, right? Because even if you have Jnanam, again when you do Karmam, there Kartrutvam, Bhoktrutvam will come. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Similarly, results, you will look at it, and if you didn't get the results, you will feel unhappy about it. And you will enjoy the results if the results are very good, right? So, the happiness what you get from a karma, sukham, is in the bhalam. Mostly it is the bhalam, right? So, that sukham what you experience inside, that is what the karma brings it at the end. Bhoktrutva, is it not? So, doing karma, there is no happiness. A lot of this karma is boring. What we do in this world, it's not making any sense also, what we are doing actually. Is it not? You know, especially today, nowadays, a lot of this karma is not making any sense. Is it not? You got completely caught up in a mess and not able to come out of it. So many new types of jobs are created. And people go and study all these things in big, big places and get all the, become specialists in that. You know, I'm talking about, right? Look at this stock market and all the business related to that, right? Whole thing is bogus, right? But they have created an illusion out of it. And a lot of people are trapped in that. And they think that they are doing a phenomenal job for the benefit of the world. And suddenly one day the whole thing crashes. And then you start realizing, what have I been doing, part of this system, what they have created, right? Investment bankers, investment business, and this, that, so many nonsense. Whatever they have created. All this has nothing to do with spiritual life or spiritually. And many, many wealthy people, they have made a lot of money out of it, so it good suits them. They're happy with that. Anyway, that's beyond the subject. What I'm trying to say is this, that when you look at karma, you have to see this angle also. That Krishna is saying here that the job alone itself, like if you look at these jobs, kind of jobs what people are doing today, is it not making any sense to this whole thing? That currencies are, you know, how currencies market is working, how the stock exchange is crashing, and all kinds of problems that comes from that, right? So, and if you tell the people you should give up all these things, how will they live it up? That's also not possible. Well, they've gone and studied this for years and years, and they've got this occupation, they've chosen that as the occupation, right? So, Krishna is saying here, whatever karma has come on your prarabdham, on your head, the way you can become free from that, if you want to advance spiritually, that's all. Only if you want to advance spiritually, realize that karma is a problem, and that karma, you perform in a way without concerned about the results. Whatever that come, you accept it, right? So, so the thing is that the modern teachers, right, they are saying that they have changed this. You know, when our swamis and sannyasis goes and train them up in these big places, Morgan Stanley and all those kind of people, and Ernst and Young. There's so many of them like that, isn't it? They are the ones who are very closely linked with the management consultants and financial consultants, as they're called, right? So when these swamis and others, they go there and they tell them that you don't have to give up anything. Because if you tell them to give up everything, then say, we don't need your advice on that. We want to increase it here. So the sannyasis and yogis or jnanis or whoever is going there to preach, they have to change the philosophy when they go there. Instead of saying karma phalatyagam to them, they want to know how to multiply it, the balam. That's what they want to hear from you. Is there any way? And this is the advice they get from this Lord. So you are actually, what you are doing is you are using Bhagavad Gita and abusing them, abusing Bhagavad Gita and misguiding them in from their spiritual path, right? So they are telling them karma yoga means engaging in karma very well and increase the results, then you are a karma yogi, he says. This is how it has been put to them, right? So see their condition. Already they are stuck in a big pit. They are stuck there. They are finding it difficult to come out of that because of the nature of the karma and also the entanglement involved in that, right? So they are already in a drainage, finding it difficult to come out of that. So rishis gave us this science out of their compassion for others, that how to turn the karma into a yoga, into a yoga. And if that knowledge is in your bhava mandalam, in your understanding, if it is there, if there is any reaction coming from that, one should not, one should perform, think about it. That is what that dhyanam is referring to. Dhyanam means the karma I am doing in this world, what is its after effect on me? Analyze that. What is it doing to me? That is dhyanam. See, if you look at that verse, it is not, that is a problem with Bhagavad Gita. If you take the direct meaning without knowing the thoughts behind it or the science behind it, if you read that verse, and you will see, for an ordinary person, that is the meaning, direct meaning. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishade. But for a spiritual person, it won't make any sense. Especially when you say, dhyanal karma bhala tyagam. Dhyanam is bhakti, is spoken as bhakti in the Kabilam and in the Agadasham. Dhyanam. Dhyanam means what? Smarana, is it not? And smarana is what you need to get out of this world. If you go by Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, is it not? Krishna has spoken, Shivabrahmashi has said that, Krishna has said that. So, in order to have smarana, dhyanam is necessary. Dhyanam is what leads to smarana, right? So, here he is saying, better than dhyanam is karma valatyagam. How can that be justified? Direct meaning if you take, I'm saying. It won't make any sense at all. For a person who understands spiritual life. For an average person, karma valatyagam is not considered to be the highest. So, think about it, that when certain verses in the Bhagavad Gita, this particularly this one verse in Bhakti Yoga chapter, if you don't know the background in which it is spoken, you read Bhagavad Gita Prabhupada's commentary also on that. He has kept it in that level. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyade, dhyanal karma phalatyagam, tyaga chandiranandaram. He has directly given the meaning in that way, did not go more than that. Go further than that and speak about it. Because it is always very difficult to accept that. To someone says that higher than jnanam is dhyanam and higher than dhyanam is karma phalatyagam. Karma phalatyagam is to get dhyanam. Now you are saying karma phalatyagam is higher than dhyanam. How can it be? Dhyanam is what we need. Dhyanam means continuous remembrance of that spirituality in a person. Awareness, bodham. Is it not? Antaryami inside, bhakti. This is all part of dhyanam. Dhyanam is bhakti. Dhyanam is dhyanam also. Dhyanam is also dhyanam. Bhakti is also dhyanam. And that dhyanam is the stage where we want to be. Continuous dhyanam. See, dhyanam, what they do in the courses and seminars, that is an organized dhyanam. That is not the dhyanam Bhagavad Gita is talking about. Bhagavad Gita's dhyanam means all the time, 24 hours, like the oil flowing drip by drip from a pot. You know, if you drill a hole, yeah? Taila dhara, it's called. In that way, able to remember Krishna inside. In that way, feeling the relationship with Krishna inside. 24 hours. That is dhyanam. And that dhyanam, better than dhyanam is karma phalatyagam, if you say, it won't make any sense. Karma phala, and Krishna has also said in the Bhagavadam, karmam is only a stepping stone to jnanam or bhakti. One of them. So, if you have jnana samskaram in you, you will go to jnana margam. If you have bhakti samskaram in you, you will go through bhakti margam. That means, you will practice bhakti sadhana. Or if you have jnana samskaram, you will follow jnana sadhana. That is how it works in a person. So, if you see all those things, and Krishna is mentioning here that how to rishis, out of their karunyam, compassion for us, they have told us that how to make this karma as a yogam in such a way, that means in your bhava mandalam, you have to develop that bhavam inside, able to develop that dhyanam, how dhyanam will develop in the bhava mandalam. So, karma vanatyagam is only towards that. Yeah? To help you, that in your bhava mandalam, that dhyanam develops. That's the idea behind it, right? So, if that dhyanam comes in, right? So, when we do karmam, you have to remember this, right? The benefit of salsangam and benefit of discussion of all these things, right? This swarthada, selfishness goes away in the results of the karmam, right? That pride, ahangaram, kartrutvam, bhoktrutvam, raga, dvesham, all these things gradually will leave us. If properly this dhyanam comes, that's how it happens, right? Salsangam is the education of all these things, is it not? To understand properly things. When dhyanam comes, in order that the benefit of all these things is that this karma bhalatyagam gradually comes, right? And when it goes like that, you will be able to do the karmam completely to be done by the Antaryami. Antaryami, that just saying like that is not good enough. But that awareness inside Antaryami is doing it in that way, right? That is what Krishna is saying here, that he is saying, Arjuna, look at me, he says. Earlier he said, by doing this karmam, I don't get any benefit, right? And if I don't do any karmam, I don't lose anything, right? But still I do karmam. You remember that? Yeah. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that. If you look at in the third chapter, 18th verse to 22, four verses. If you look at that, see how subtle the science is. Science is very subtle. And connection with karmam, jnanam, bhakti. And you will not able to do these things properly without properly knowing it, what it means, right? So, 318, if you look, naivadasya kridenartho, na kridenaha kaschana, na jasya sarvabodesho, kaschidartha vivashraya, tasmad, asakta satatam, karyam karma samachara, asakto hyacharan karmam, paramapnodi purusha, karmanaivahi samsiddhi. And he said, example, mamastida janagadeya, King Janaka and others have done karmam in that way, he's saying. Quoting example, Janaka Krishi, Janaka, King Janaka, is giving, he says, that is how they have done karmam, he says. Astido loga sangraham evapi, sampashyan kartum arhasi, that's a way of doing karmam, he said. Karmanevahi samsiddhim mamastida janagadeya logasangrahamevabhi sampashyan kartumarhasi. Great, great kshatriyas like Janaka, they acquired perfection through karma in this way. And that is the way of doing karma. We'll discuss that when we come to karma yogam. But here, the important thing to remember is this, that nagradeneha kashana na kartrutvena akartvena. Not by doing karma that you will become perfect. Right? So, and Krishna says, I don't need to do anything, but I am doing it still. Yeah? So, you have to understand what Krishna is talking about. He is trying to tell us the way karma should be done. Karma should be done. Yeah? And he said that, Vartayeja karmani. I am still doing karma, he says. I don't need anything from karma. I don't need any results. And if I don't do anything, nobody is going to ask me anything, but still I am doing karma. Right? So, and he's saying to Arjuna, be like that, he said. Right? So, and try to learn that knowledge, vidya, of doing karma, how to do the karma. Right? So, don't wander around like a beggar, he said. In order for that, dhyanam, and so this whole thing is talking about, is centered around karma yogam. Karma yogam is in the dhyanam. Karma yogam is in your dhyanam, right? And that is what is called adhyasam. That word Krishna has used there, right? Abhyasam. Adhyasam. Now, he said that, he is not saying that, if you look at that verse, that first line, Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal, right? He is not saying Abhyasam is higher than Jnanam. But when you read the words, that is how it will come out. Shreyohi Jnanam Abhyasal, right? What he is saying is, with the jnanam, abhyasam becomes perfect. That's how you have to understand that. Shreyohi jnanam abhyasal, right? With jnanam, abhyasam becomes perfect, right? And with that jnanam, dhyanam should be done. With that jnanam, dhyanam. Because jnanam, see, Bhagavad Gita is a book of jnanam. Bhagavad Gita is a book of jnanam. And then you say to them that karma phala tyagam is higher than jnanam, it won't make any sense. Completely complicates the whole thing. That's why that particular verse is always a confusion. Yeah? You can read the book and then see yourself how much confused you get after reading that verse. Because of that, this connection between jnanam, dhyanam, karmam, bhakti, karma phalam, all these things you've got to take into account when you interpret that verse. Otherwise you won't get the direct proper understanding, or won't come from that. So he is saying here that with the jnanam, that dhyanam becomes good, perfect, right? And with that jnanam, dhyanam is performed, right? And not dhyanam of anything what you like, right? Jyodi dhyanam, like light, they say dhyanam, or form, rupa dhyanam. That is all for a small period of time. It gives you happiness while you are doing that, right? But when we are in this material existence, samsara, right? And when we are engaged in karmam here, our major disease is our selfishness. What has gone very strong inside, right? And what we are looking for, that knowledge that will free us from that selfishness inside, right? And that knowledge, what will take its roots strongly inside, and that selfishness leaves us from once for all, right? And that dhyanam, that is the dhyanam he's talking about. Anusandhanam, right? Krishna calls it as dhyanam here. So, these three words, right? which one? The dhyanam, jnanam, karmam, all what Krishna has used here in this verse is on a different context, not in the normal way it is used, right? Jnanam, abhyasam, dhyanam. Three words. Jnanam, abhyasam, dhyanam, right? So, all these three things are centered around karma. In order to purify the karma and to make it supporting self-realization, jnanam, dhyanam, and abhyasam, three things. Around karma, how karma should be performed, that is what this verse is talking about. How, because previous verses are all related to karma. How step by step in karma you can free yourself and come to bhakti. He spoke about that, right? In the previous verses, as we saw before. Starting from the last verse of last chapter. When Krishna, and he asked about bhakti. Then Krishna spoke about karma there. He asked about bhakti, or he asked about Antaryami Upasana. Antaryami Upasana, Krishna said, forget about it. Because that's only few people will do it. Majority is on the other side, bhakti. For, before talking about bhakti, Krishna spoke about Shraddha. And then he talked about karma after that. So karma he has spoken step by step like this. And then he put this one verse in the middle of that. Shrayohi jnanam abhyasal, jnanal dhyanam vishishyare. So if you don't link jnanam, dhyanam, abhyasam with karma, this verse won't make any sense. This verse is spoken only to convince us, to make us aware that even karma what you do, the idea is that all what he spoke till now, in order to make it practical, to happen, it has to be done through this way. Jnanam, dhyanam, abhyasam. Those three things. So, when you have free time, you can sit and look through it and you will see it will make more sense then. Otherwise, it won't make any sense. If you take literal meaning of dhyanam, jnanam, because normally when you say jnanam, your mind will go in the way of self-realization, jnanam, right? And then it is saying that dhyanam is better than jnanam. Jnanam is self-realized state. Then how can dhyanam better than that? So, dhyanam is a tool to get there. That process of nididhyasanam, shravana manana nididhyasanam, that's the process for reaching that state. Yes. But here the difficulty is that Krishna puts karma phalatyagam tyaga shandir anandaram, he said. So karma phalatyagam becomes the highest thing. Karma phalatyagam is not the highest thing. Anyway, the thing is, why Krishna said all this thing is that we have a problem. Problem is this, that we got used to be like this, all the time looking after our personal interests and our selfishness inside us, caring for ourselves, right? That swarthada has increased, selfishness. And that buddhi won't go away easily from inside, right? It is so deep-rooted. Right? So, the anusandhanam required to get rid of that, he is saying these things. Jnanam. So, he says, bring dhyanam into it. And if that dhyanam is with the jnanam, it will be wonderful. It will work very well. Dhyanam is required. That means you got to think about karma, like the way Krishna has spoken about it. You reflect on all those verses about karma bhalatyagam, and that reflection is called a dhyanam. See, dhyanam is a reflection on those verses. Karma bhalatyagam, what Krishna has spoken about that. Reflection of thinking, why karma bhalatyagam? To become free ourselves from this kartrutva bhoktrutva. That is, for that purpose is karma valatyagam, right? And then, if it is all done with the jnanam, then that will become successful. Jnanam of the karma valatyagam, of the karma. What Krishna, Vedantam jnanam also, he is saying here, if this, with the knowledge of the Shastram, if it is done, that dhyanam will be beneficial. It will be successful, he is saying here. For example, you can see people say they want to go into meditation, isn't it? Meditation classes and all that, right? That is not going to be very successful, because what happened is that it will do some good, in the sense that for an hour at least you are trying to block your chittavritti. That much benefit you will get from that. Nothing more than that. Proper dhyanam is different. It's not this meditation courses and seminars. That's not considered to be proper dhyanam. Proper dhyanam is this continuous stream going on inside, unbrokenly, unbroken flow of these thoughts of spirituality, right? So Krishna said that with that jnanam, dhyanam will become very effective, right? Why? Because it is done with knowledge. And if that knowledge becomes powerful inside, right, and you have got the clear clarity inside with the knowledge, that jnanal karma, dhyanal karma phalatya, before that, jnanal dhyanam vishishyate, right? In that case, ultimately you will see there that the identification with the body, mind, senses, buddhi, ahankaram, all these things, when you are able to reject all these things, that is where the dhyanam comes in, right? If you have to do dhyanam properly, the other things have to leave us. Body, mind, senses, ego. You can't have dhyanam with all that, identification with that, right? So this dhyanam, what Krishna is talking about, is different than the dhyanam what you practice it otherwise. You know, sitting down in meditation. On the meditation mat you sit, and you know, the instructor will tell you, you focus on this, focus on that. Now you can see this, you can see that. That's how they teach there, right? So, that dhyanam helped you for some concentration purposes. It may help, right? So, but that dhyanam becomes only successful if it is associated with jnanam, shastra jnanam, shastra upadesham. With that, it becomes perfect. So, so here, the technicality in this is that karma yogam is what Krishna has focused on so far. And karma yogam, if karmam has to become yogam, you have to have that knowledge of karma yogam in your dhyanam. In your dhyana mandalam, in the field of dhyanam, the knowledge of karma yogam should be working all the time. Only then karma will become karma yoga. That's the point Krishna is making there. So we'll talk about it next Wednesday. It's a difficult topic because Krishna said everything in four lines and left it to others. And that is why you require help of commentaries. Otherwise, it's difficult. In all these issues, there is not much of a disagreement between Shankaracharya, Ramanujan, and all that. Difference is coming about two, three simple things like the Advaitam, Ardvaitam, Vishishtadvaitam. But other things, these verses, they have taken very seriously when they have commented. Prabhupada didn't do it that way because he knew the audience won't understand all these things. So he kept it in the minimum level so that people can begin somewhere, to start up with something, you know. That way it is spoken, yeah. Otherwise it is, Bhagavad Gita is a very complex subject it is. Durvijnaya Artham, as he said. It is Durvijnaya Artham. So many things you have to know, the background, till you get to feel comfortable with it, what Krishna is saying, yeah. So when you go into, that is why even Bhakti Yoga is mystifying, isn't it? Krishna's Bhakti, what he's going to talk about, is so different than what we are thinking Bhakti is. We think if we go on a parikrama, Govardhana parikrama, or the, we have done this, you have done that, I have done all that in my life, now I am a devotee. I say, Krishna is not accepting any of that things. Krishna is saying, if you have all these qualities, then you are a devotee, otherwise you are not. He put it like that. So, we'll stop there. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada ki.